The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Thursday, October 11th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Hurricane Michael slammed into the Florida panhandle with terrifying winds of 155 miles per hour Wednesday, splintering homes and submerging neighborhoods before continuing its destructive charge inland across the southeast. It was the most powerful hurricane to hit the continental U.S. in nearly 50 years. At least one death was reported by a falling tree. Submerged by abnormally warm waters from the Gulf of Mexico, the Category 4 storm crashed ashore in the early afternoon near Mexico Beach, a tourist town about midway along the panhandle, a 200-mile stretch of white sand beach resorts, fishing towns, and military bases. After it ravaged the panhandle, Michael barreled into South Georgia as a Category 3 hurricane, the most powerful ever recorded for that part of the neighboring state. It later weakened to a Category 1 hurricane, and there were reports of that it spawned possible tornadoes in central Georgia.
As I was watching the footage yesterday, and, you know, they were really, I mean, they were covering it all over the place, and it looked bad, but I thought to myself, man, Florence looked so much worse as it was hitting, you know, and they'd been touting this one as cataclysmic, and even the reporters were out there, and you could see it was bad, but
they weren't faking, like they couldn't get through the winds.
Yeah, I can't. well, people were writing. But you know what I'm saying? Just to my eye,
I wasn't
there, but what I was seeing seemed less than Florence.
But did you see the aftermath of it?
Yes.
I mean, there were a friend of mine, her dad lives down there. She posted pictures that I guess her dad had sent her, and the building across the street from him, every single window, like it was like a six-story building, every window was blown out. All the cars were destroyed. A roof, you could see across the street. It was a two-story house. The roof was ripped off. You could literally see, like, the couch inside the house.
Wow, man. There was a shot of a guy in the den of his home, 4.5 feet of water, you know?
Oh,
my God.
So in North Florida, Michael battered the shoreline with sideways rain, powerful gusts, and crashing waves, swamping streets and docks, flattening trees, shredding awnings, and peeling away shingles. It set off transformer explosions and knocked out power to more than 388,000 homes and businesses. Damage in Panama City was extensive, with broken and uprooted trees and power lines down nearly everywhere. Roofs were peeled off and homes split open by fallen trees. Twisted street signs lay on the ground. Residents emerged in the early evening to assess the damage when rain stopped, but they said the skies were still overcast and it was still pretty windy. Governor Rick Scott announced soon after the powerful eye had swept inland that aggressive search and rescue efforts would be underway as conditions allowed. He urged people to stay off the debris-littered roads. NASA says two astronauts from the U.S. and Russia are in good condition after an emergency landing following booster rocket failure minutes after launch. NASA astronaut Nick Hague and Roscosmos Alexei Ochinin lifted off as scheduled at 2:40 Thursday from the Kazakhstan atop a booster rocket. They were to dock at the International Space Station 6 hours later, but the booster suffered engine failure minutes after the launch. NASA said it has been informed by Russian space officials that the crew has made an emergency landing at an unspecified location in Kazakhstan and is in good condition. Search and rescue crews are heading to the landing site.
Right, so this isn't the type of rocket that actually can make its own landing?
No. Here's what they do, and I've actually seen, we're actually in a very fortunate place in the world, the United States, for space travel because of Florida and its proximity to the ocean and the rotation of the Earth. It's absolutely perfect. A lot of places around the world are not ideal for launch.
Yes.
So, and that includes this because of the way that the rotation, the direction that the Earth turns and the direction that you launch. We have a perfect abort area into the ocean, and that's why a lot of the capsules always landed in the water when they would return as well. But when you're launching where the Russians launch, they have to land on the ground, and so their capsule has a mechanism that when it is 5 meters above the ground, it fires off these booster rockets really fast,
yes,
and it causes it to abruptly stop, and then it hits the ground. So they use a parachute. And then you'll see, if you ever see a capsule landing, yeah, right, it looks like yeah. an explosion.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's supposedly not very comfortable.
Yeah, I would imagine.
But and it's a little bit more dangerous than our landing. So they have to land that way. So right now they're kind of searching for these guys. It's like when we do the water landing, too. There's, you know, like 20 square miles that they could land in because right. of the wind and all the other conditions.
The helicopters are out.
They still got to go find these guys, especially.
I thought they didn't do the water landing anymore.
Well, when you're using the space shuttle, you don't do a water landing.
No. Okay, yeah. but like this.
The space shuttle doesn't exist anymore, so they're going up on these rockets to get up to the International Space Station.
I like the configuration. It's kind of cool of the Russian booster rockets, the way they have them. You know, the way
they flare out at the bottom.
The way they flare out a
Yeah, they look pretty cool.
It's very 50s sci-fi. Soyuz
and you guys saw, maybe it was on Sunday night over L.A., that like weird celestial like blob that was kind of like hovering over the city. And
it confused Christy Swanson.
It confused a lot of people.
I follow her on Twitter.
Okay, it confused a lot of people.
I was like, what?
Christy Swanson, star of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, was confused by that, Casey.
Right. So
this just in.
Did the news cover that?
It did not.
Oh, okay. They should have.
But SpaceX, I guess it launched a rocket up there, and one of the boosters had come off. So there were two like big lights in the sky. With this, it was kind of cool.
It was
cool
an ethereal looking. Sort of haze that was making it look like a glowing. Here you go, Preston.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
All right, we're looking at video of that. So I had a freak out moment, and I told you guys about it. It was over a week, and it was several years ago. And it was we were having a block party in my neighborhood, and me and one other person saw this bizarre thing in the sky. It looked like this lit up triangle that formed. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, did you just see that? One other person saw it. Everybody else thought we were crazy. Yeah. And of course, I'm half lit because it was a black.
Sure.
It was a
block party. So I went home and I called the only news source I knew. I called Matt O'Donnell. I'm like, dude, I just saw this thing.
Uh-huh.
What is this? And he said, I'll call the FAA. I'll check for you. Yeah. And sure enough, they were doing some a launch out of Virginia.
That was like a test?
It was a satellite going up or something like that.
Oh, okay.
And when leaving the atmosphere, some kind of thing happened that created this optical.
And you saw it all the way from here.
And I saw
it. Isn't that amazing?
It was large in the sky.
That's what the government wants you to see.
So that's like, yeah, exactly. So no, but that's kind of what this thing was.
And similar.
It kind of scared me.
Of course.
For a moment.
We're not used to seeing crap like that.
Thought it was an alien. Not a tag, but
Preston,
maybe.
Yeah. We are here for you.
Yeah. It's where you find out that your dad's Kurt Russell, Preston. Right.
That would
be so cool.
It'd be so cool.
Oh, my God.
Star-Lord.
There's that place down in Virginia called Wallops Flight Facility. I think we've been invited down there a couple of times because they launch stuff for SpaceX there, and they launch stuff. I think it's just supplies that go to the space station.
Is it
still cool?
Okay. Wallops is the one in Virginia, and every now and then, like, if it's a clear night and the conditions are right, you can see launches here from there.
Yeah, yeah. We've watched them, like, on our back deck. They you know, go across the sky.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I remember on our phone, we were watching the launch site live, and then you look towards, you know, the east or whatever it may be, and then you can see the going up.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
It's so cool.
I was in coordination with a guy who work there or something like that.
Right.
I lost track of them, and I would love to get down there. The problem is there are these launch windows at very specific times, and sometimes they don't happen.
Yeah.
And they cancel, and they scrub them all the time.
It was always this sort of liability, you know, years ago when people would go down to watch the shuttle launches.
Yeah.
And you'd show up, and we delay. So, we're going to go see it on Tuesday.
Right.
And if you don't have enough vacation time or you're, you know, you everyone usually has a constrained calendar. Yeah.
So what was it out in California, Casey?
It was SpaceX.
So they are. So they said search and rescue crews are heading to the landing site to help these guys.
Okay.
Police charged a limousine service operator Wednesday with criminally negligent homicide in the crash that killed 20 people, while the man's lawyer said that he wasn't guilty and that police were rushing to judgment. Prestige limousine operator Nusman Hussein was taken into custody Wednesday in a traffic stop on a highway near Albany, New York, state police said. The company, which Hussein's father owns, has come under intense scrutiny since Saturday's crash crash outside Albany killed two pedestrians and 18 people in the Superstretch limo. It was taking a group to a birthday bash. Prestige's vehicles have been cited with a roster of safety violations, and state officials said the limo involved in the crash failed an inspection and was declared unserviceable on September 4th. The company's owner, Lee Kindlin, said safety problems were fixed, though the state says that is not so. As Hussein awaited arraignment and police planned a news briefing on the case, Kindlin said the 28-year-old Hussein just handled marketing duties and phone calls while his father ran the company, though police say Hussein is the operator. My client is not guilty, Kindlin told reporters gathered outside the state police headquarters. The police jumped the gun in charging him with any crime, he said. In sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
The Flyers beat the Senators, winning 7-4 last night in Ottawa.
All right.
Jake Voracek had two goals and three assists, and Scott Lawton also scored twice in the win. Sean Couturier, Robert Haig, and Claude Giroux also scored, and new goalie Calvin Pickard stopped 31 shots. The Flyers are back home this weekend and will face the Vegas Golden Knights on Saturday. Game time is at 1 o'clock.
The Flyers have a new tradition now after a win. Whoa. Last season they had the Ric Flair robe. This year, for some reason, I don't know what the story is, it's a helmet.
It's this oversized motorcycle helmet,
yeah.
And Jake Voracek is wearing it in a picture that they posted on their Twitter account, their Instagram. That's fantastic.
Great.
Game time is at 1 o'clock. The baseball playoffs will continue tomorrow night when the National League Championship Series begins in Milwaukee with the Brewers hosting the L.A. Dodgers in Game 1. The ALCS begins on Saturday in Boston when the Red Sox host the Houston Astros. The Eagles will look to end their two-game losing streak when they travel up the New Jersey Turnpike to play the New York Giants tonight at the Meadowlands. All four teams in the NFC East are under 500 with the Birds at 2-3 and the Giants at 1-4. Kickoff tonight is at 8:20, and the Eagles are still the Super Bowl. Chance. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right. Thank you very much, Kathy. So here we go with a lot of things for you once again today. We have birthday bucks, $1,000. Yep. We got a chance for you to win that. Let's see if you can do it. 8 o'clock is your first shot, and we'll do it 5 times today. So just keep listening and keep winning. We also have joining us in studio this morning a couple of guests. Gary Goleman is back in town.
Love Gary Goleman.
He'll be at Helium Comedy Club tonight, and he's also got shows Friday and Saturday. In fact, 3 shows on Saturday?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, the middle show is actually sold out, so he's got a 7:30 and 10. But
this is all new material, by the way.
Yeah.
All brand spanking new.
So Gary will stop by, and then at 9 o'clock, Mr. M. Night Shyamalan is stopping
in. Yes.
He'll be here to talk about Shyamaween, this awesome Halloween party. We're not going to be available, us personally, to go to it this year because we're going to be in London, but we've been there the past few years, and it's just
for the first time, by the way, this was going to be the one I was going to go to. almost exactly one year ago, I purchased my Halloween costume, my Shyamaween costume, in anticipation of this year. Mm-hmm. This is before the planned trip to London ever took place. I was going to go as the Rocketeer. I have the whole thing.
Oh, man.
You know what? Last year, I did the same thing. I found an awesome costume, and at the end of Halloween season last year, it was on sale, so I bought it, thinking we're going to go to another party.
Got everything good to go. Listen, I'm excited to go to London, but this is going to be my first Shyamaween.
I had to miss last year, too, because my wife's charity gala... Remember, it was
the same night.
Yeah, remember you cut off Samuel L. Jackson
as
the host. Yeah, remember that?
Yeah.
You know
what I said when I realized we couldn't go? I was like, you know what? I think I need like a buffer year anyway.
Yeah.
This is good.
I've never been.
Hey,
listen, you're in
Samuel Janet Jackson.
No. Your intentions were proper because Sam was going to bail at a dollar amount on an auction, and he's being a nice guy. He's being a celebrity, and you're like, hold on, we can get more money here.
Hold on, Jack.
Shut up.
Yeah. Pretty much.
We'll reminisce about that with Knight. He probably appreciated it. More money went to the foundation. So we will have Knight stopping by today, and obviously we got to talk about Mr. Glass, and all the things that he has planned down the road. So that and more on the way this morning. We have postponed tonight's Cream the Scream stop because of the thunderstorms working their way into the area.
So the remnants of the storm down in the Panhandle heading up here, plus other things. Preston, they're describing the rain that's going to be occurring tonight as blinding.
Yeah,
so we figured perhaps we should postpone it till next Thursday.
Yeah, so that's what's going to happen. So just a heads up on that.
Does that mean? I mean, the Eagles are playing in New York. Does that mean they're going to be playing?
I don't know.
I hate rainy football games. I don't know
what they're getting up there, but though I heard the description offered a number of times as a blinding, driving rain this year.
Marissa will be inside, though.
Yeah, yes. That means it's a great time to come to Misconduct on JFK, 18th and JFK, where we will be watching the game and giving away tickets to a future Eagles game, courtesy of Bud Light.
Well, that's your perfect solution then. Yeah.
I think it's the Eagles Cowboys game that I'd read yesterday, so you should have tickets to that.
Sweet. Yeah. And then I'll be able to go to Bates next week.
Excellent. Yeah.
All right. So these things and more coming up. Let's take a break. Come back in a second. Entertainment report, stupid question. You know how these things work by now. If you don't and you're new to the show, we'll hang in there. We'll show you. We'll give you a tutorial this morning. Be back in a second. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Do you want the most important purchase of your life to be based on your negotiating skills? Not the case at Steven Singer Jewelers. You are guaranteed to get the perfect price every day. They make the experience of buying an engagement ring easy with no BS. Check him out at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, you know that I go to Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spas. Whether you want a rejuvenating massage or a refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massage or facial start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, stupid question time. We're going to give away a pair of tickets to see Adam Conver of True TV's Adam Ruins Everything, and that will be at North 7th, formerly the Electric Factory, on Saturday, December 1st. Question that I have for you this morning. In the movie Thelma and Louise, what model car did they drive?
Oh, yes.
215-263-WMMR, iconic car, convertible. What type of car was that? 215-263-WMMR. We'll see if you know the answer. Going to go through, you know what, before I go through the birthdays, before we even did news, I started laughing.
What was that about?
I had to compose myself in case Kathy was going to lead with a bad story.
Right.
I had glanced down, and we get these sheets that are given to us daily, and just information about the show and what's going on, and sometimes it's a new Daily Rush video.
Right.
And the new Rush is Dune Daily Rush video is called Unbutterable.
It's a great picture.
Have you seen the picture, Kathy?
No, we took it yesterday. I didn't see it.
It's hilarious.
You look great.
It's like you do look great.
Yeah,
it's like a movie poster, and this is it, right?
Look at it, Kath. Look at how concerned your emotion looks.
We're in a field somewhere. I love that.
They're in a field, and Casey looks depressed and afraid and scared, and Kathy looks concerned.
Very concerned.
And it is, and it's littered with the Golden Globe. It says Golden Globe winner, best actress, Kathy Romano.
Yes!
And it's got the official logo there.
Yes, oh yeah.
Of the Golden Globe, and it says.
Oh my God, that's funny.
Nick Murphy put that together.
Screen Actors Guild. It's hilarious, man. The reviews are astonishing and uplifting. True story. Warm and witty, not to be missed. Simply marvelous. U.S. number one film sensation. It is brilliant.
It's
Nick
so
Murphy.
Good.
He's right there.
And your crew are incredible. It is just so funny. So take a look at it today. Online on PrestonSteve.com.
I thought the same thing, though. First off, you obviously you're an attractive
you
woman, Kathy,
but
you look very concerned.
Yeah.
And it's you're acting in your picture. It's awesome.
Your lips look great, Kathy.
Oh, thank you.
What a great picture.
So many compliments. I think Nick Murphy photoshopped it.
Touchstone pictures.
So if you get a chance, watch the Daily Rush video. Okay, birthdays today, while we're waiting for the answer to the stupid question. Include Michelle Trachtenberg.
Yes.
You were just mentioning Buffy the Vampire Slayer this morning. Who is it? Chrissy Swanson is who you said earlier?
From the movie.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it was Sarah Michelle Gellar, as she pronounces it.
Does she really say Gellar?
That's my understanding. Mm-hmm. And so she was on that show, and she was also on that the Kids Over in Europe movie. Do you remember that?
Euro Trip. Yeah, she was hot in that.
She looked very good. She makes out with her brother accidentally.
She's 33 today. Emily Deschanel.
Yes.
From Bones is 42.
It's Bones.
Bones.
Sorry.
I work on Bones.
We also have Stephen Moyer, the actor from True Blood and The Gifted, husband of Anna Paquin.
Right.
Is 49 today. Jane Krakowski.
Love her.
I've always had a thing for her. National Lampoon Vacation. You go way back to that when she was a kid, but she had success with Ally McBeal. And now she does the Sonic TV commercials.
She does. I like the guys, and I like the fact so she does it with her Kimmy Schmidt co-star.
Yeah.
And so that's good. But
they're cute.
Yeah, they're cute.
I'm curious if they're just going to hand it over to them and not have the guys anymore.
The guys are very good.
The guys are great.
In fact, they're a little bit better comedically, but they're fun.
Yeah, so Jane turns the big 5-0 today. She's a lovely, lovely girl.
Lovely girl, and she's turning 5-0. She does commercials for orange juice.
Luke Perry also has his birthday today.
I loved him.
Driving up the coast.
Yeah. You hate him now?
He's on Riverdale now.
No, he's... Okay. Is he on Riverdale?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you know what? I stopped watching it, but back in the day, in 90210 case, he was like, you know...
Kathy's Archie's father on Riverdale.
Okay.
He is 52 years old today.
Hey, so he was in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, too.
Yes, that's the movie.
Right. You're right.
That was Pee Wee Herman.
What's that?
Yeah, Pee Wee Herman was in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
You mean...
All right.
Paul Rubens.
Okay. Joan Cusack.
Love her.
Has her birthday today as well. And she's been in loads of movies. Goes back to the... 16 Candles, and you know, her and her brother were both in that movie.
Absolutely.
Small roles.
She was in that movie, My Bodyguard, too, you remember?
She was a friend in school.
Yeah.
She was on the first four or five seasons of Shameless, and her character on Shameless is this sex fiend who is very much into toys and...
But she's very nerdy, also.
I mean, she plays Joan Cusack, but she's a full-on... sex addict.
Okay.
And it's a hilarious juxtaposition of the two characters.
When I think of Joan Cusack and I think of what I believe her to be like, the principal in School of Rock.
Yes.
Okay.
She was great. Big Stevie Nicks fan. Yeah, the whole, yeah.
She is great in that. And the voice of Jessie from Toy Story.
She's so good.
Yeah.
We had her on the show and she was awesome.
Very sweet. She's 56 today. Local fella, David Morse.
Wow.
Great actor.
One of our co-acting.
Yes.
Preston, of course, we were in the movie with him.
Mechanic. We were in that with him.
We're
in the beginning of the movie. We're the first voices you hear.
I mean, honestly, if you're trying to sink the hook in a movie, you put your strong stuff up front.
Hey, did I get a credit as well as a sound engineer? Because... And sound editor, because I edited that break and I emailed it to them.
I don't know.
Didn't you get an Oscar for that?
I did not, but for Unbutterable.
No, Lucasfilm.
That's right. He got a Golden Globe for Unbutterable.
That's right.
No, I didn't. I mean, I was just outshone by Kathy Romano. I think my performance is pretty damn good, but Kathy's was just so good.
All right. David Morse still lives in the area and a very nice, very quiet guy.
Countless films.
12 Monkeys, Contact, The Green Mile, St. Elsewhere, he goes back television-wise. Hack was his show for a bit.
I don't want to brag, but he and I go to the same foot doctor.
Really? And Kathy, weren't you going to the same gym?
Yeah, we used to go to the same gym.
I play golf at the same club that he plays at.
So we're like
I used to eat at the same Panera as Terrence Howard.
Oh, my God. That's right. Marissa, hold on. She's got something.
His daughter went to the same school I went to.
Look at this. Nick, you're the only one left out.
No, I used to go to this place called St. Malachy's. They had this Irish music festival, and it was fantastic. He played a priest, and I've said this a few times, but it's a great book and a movie called Diary of a City Priest. It's about this Philadelphia priest, and I can't recommend it more highly. So same church.
You know what? Has he ever been in a Shyamalan film? Because he would be perfect for any one of those movies.
Wow, maybe that's a good question. I don't think so.
Okay. David Morse celebrating his 65th birthday today. So if you see him today, tell him Preston and Steve said happy birthday.
Yes, please.
He'll run away.
The last birthday we've had in the studio on a few occasions. Artie Lang celebrates his birthday. He's 51 years old today, still working on keeping his life together.
I was a fan of Artie Lang's from Mad TV, and then he got together with Norm MacDonald and Dirty Work, right?
Yes.
And very funny. And on to Howard, obviously.
51 years old today. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. What is the car that the ladies drive in the movie Thelma and Louise? 215-263-WMMR. Let's go to Fran. Hey, Fran.
Hey, you guys rock.
Thanks, Fran. Appreciate it. So what kind of car do they drive off the cliff?
It's a Thunderbird.
Yeah, it's Ford Thunderbird. Hang on a second. Fran, we got a prize for you. We have a pair of tickets. To see Adam Conover of True TV's Adam Ruins Everything at North 7th, formerly Electric Factory, on Saturday, December 1st. Tickets on sale now via Ticketmaster.com. So congratulations, Fran. All right. That was good, Casey. Yeah, yeah. I like it. All right, entertainment stories. Let's get into it. After finalizing her divorce from Ben Affleck, Jennifer Garner is officially back in the dating game. Oh. The star has
been... I said so. Remember yesterday?
Yeah, you said she had a boyfriend. I don't know if she does or not.
But maybe, you know, you can't trust tabloids. That's what I'm starting to learn.
The star has been notably reticent about dating again, especially when compared to Affleck, who just in the past year had two well-documented flings. One with Saturday Night Live producer Lindsay
Checkers.
Thank you. And another one with Playboy model Shauna Sexton.
Now, broke up with Sexton on that fishing trip, right?
Yeah, right.
That's the word.
Well, the fish was too small.
Fish was too small.
Very impressed with it.
You call it a fish.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, here she is. She thinks she's being supportive. Yeah. Like, I put on hip waders. I held that gross thing in my hand.
Yep. And it's
nothing.
Supposedly. We'll see if that's legit or not. So this is according to a source. Jen has been wanting to move on, and now when the divorce is finalized, she finally can. She has had no choice but to be patient since Ben needed to finish his rehab treatment, but she was ready to sign the papers. She famously staged the intervention with Affleck and got him enrolled in rehab for a third time, of course.
That's a good person who would do that.
This source says Jen doesn't want to be single for the rest of her life, so she is open to dating. She has been on dates, but it seems she isn't serious about a guy. As always, she is mostly focused on her kids and her job. Meanwhile, her baby food company called Once Upon a Farm has snagged a $20 million investment from Cavu Venture Partners. So she's
Cavu
starting to get a little bit of side action going
this
there as far as money.
A lot of these actresses are going this way. These cottage industries. Hey, good for her.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Proving once again that Hollywood isn't all glam and glitz. Extras on The Joker, the film, got locked in a subway train car for hours, and after getting no response to their request for a bathroom break, several were forced to pee between the cars, according to TMZ. So they had to get out and do that.
I wonder how that movie's going. All these stills you're seeing from the set are very interesting.
I saw a quote-unquote trailer for it, I guess,
where he's just
kind of walking around. There's no dialogue. Did you see that one?
No. I saw one where I've seen a lot of footage.
He's smoking and
yes,
walking along.
Yes, I have seen, yeah.
Comes up to a guy dressed like a clown.
And then smiles. And
there's nothing. You get nothing out of it. I thought it was an interesting approach at a trailer. It makes you, I mean, you see this guy is not a villainous. He just looks like an average guy walking around, kind of a geeky guy walking around.
Right.
So they're being very unique with their marketing so far, but they got a ways to go. The Joker with Joaquin Phoenix is the latest film reincarnation of the Batman character. This version takes place in the 80s with Phoenix taking on the role of a failed comic turned criminal. The Screen Actors Guild and Warner Brothers are reportedly looking into this incident about people having to pee in between the cars.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that
no.
to your exes. You should provide bathrooms.
Okay, so Owen Wilson reportedly welcomed his third child on Tuesday. This is Wilson's first girl. Now, it's a woman named Varuni Vonsviritz.
Sounds like a Mel Brooks villain.
Varuni Vonsviritz gave birth to Lila Aranya Wilson.
Wow, Varuni Vonsviritz.
According to multiple reports, she shared her pregnancy via an Instagram photo in June, but little is known about her relationship with Wilson. They were first linked in 2014.
So run these names by me again.
All right. It's spelled V-A-R-U-N-I-E.
Varuni. That's how I'd say it.
Mm-hmm. Vongsviritz.
Varunis Vongsviritz.
Varuni Vongsviritz.
That sounds like a mountain on Mars.
I'm sure that's not how you pronounce it.
Well, here's a picture of Varuni Vongsviritz.
Holy.
Oh, my God.
Dear Lord.
I mean, her name could be Fartqueef, and it would not matter.
Wow, she's a stunner, you would imagine.
And look at the ab action on her.
Yeah, she's in great shape.
That's, by the way, Preston, in that picture, she's 8 months pregnant.
I don't know what they've been linked in since 2014. It says they were first linked, and I don't know what the story is as far as what their relationship is, if it's official or I don't know.
Wow, you've got abs.
Wilson has two sons, Robert, who is 7, and Finn, who is 4, from previous relationships, plural.
Yes. He's the butterscotch bandit.
He has not commented on the birth of the child or the status of his relationship with Vongsviritz. So, I don't know, but the word is that's another one of his children, so.
There you go. What's the kid's name, the newborn?
It is Lila Aranya Wilson.
Okay.
I don't know if she's an actress or not, but here's a picture of her with Owen Wilson at a premiere of Father Figures, which was that movie that came out last year.
Okay. With Ed Helms, right?
I guess so, yeah. And this photo on Instagram only has 85 likes. She's not like an overwhelmingly popular model or anything like that on Instagram.
I think she could be.
Yeah.
4,800 followers. So, she's very beautiful, as you would imagine.
Wow, you only have 4,800 followers.
Let's see. The sexual assault case against Harvey Weinstein is in danger of falling apart.
How do you botch this one?
After Manhattan prosecutors discovered evidence regarding one of his accusers that makes her encounter with the disgraced producer sound consensual.
Mm.
Lucia Evans previously claimed that Weinstein forced her, to perform oral on him in 2004. Evans is one of three women whose accusations are being used against Weinstein by Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance Jr.'s office. One of Evans' prior employees turned over the written evidence that appeared to contradict her grand jury testimony. The evidence was found on a work computer, apparently. Today, Manhattan Supreme Court Justice James Burke is expected to rule on whether to dismiss count 5 of the indictment that relates to Evans. Sources tell the Post. Don't know if that's going to happen or not.
So. That's wild. Well, that's just one aspect of the multitude of cases he's facing. I think he's even facing investigation. Scotland Yard is investigating him.
Yeah. Hey, since being robbed at gunpoint in Paris 2 years ago, Kim Kardashian has downplayed her mega wealth, but she made an exception when she attended the 2018 Tiffany Blue Book collection, choosing to accessorize her revealing dress with statement diamond gear.
Ooh, statement diamond gear.
Including a choker and several rings. Ooh. Now, she let social media and would-be baddies know that the pieces were merely borrowed.
And borrowed.
And that she had beefed up her security team for the evening. So she had plenty of people standing by to take anybody out if they were going to try to steal from her.
I think she still has a lawsuit pending with her Parisian security detail.
Also, I wonder if this was like the first time she went out with,
Yeah.
High-priced jewelry like that since then.
I think so. I think she really had
head-to-toe Argentium.
Been playing that down, but now she's doing. She's going back. I doubt she'll do it often.
Yeah.
And she's going to have armed security with her.
Time.
Look at this picture. Doesn't she look like a wax figure?
She does.
Yeah.
She really looks like a wax figure of herself, and not a good one.
It's just she doesn't do it for me.
No.
No.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Yep. Hey, do you want to talk to the executive producer of the movie Mechanic?
Yes.
Yeah.
The movie that we were talking about.
They want us back for the sequel?
It's David Morris's birthday today, and we were talking about the fact that Steve and I, in the beginning of the film, we recorded us doing a radio show, and they used it in the beginning of the movie.
And I was doing traffic.
That's right.
Yeah.
We had to step out
what?
Of our...
Yeah,
Kathy, are you kidding
traffic.
Me?
Yeah, they said, channel your Kathy.
Get that's this guy on the phone. I want to see what his deal is.
And I said, I can't. My testicles aren't big enough.
So Don is on the line. Hey, Don, how you doing?
Hey, sorry to bother you guys.
Okay. Done.
I listen to you every morning going to work, and I heard this morning Casey saying something about the Mechanic movie. I heard that it's Steve Morris's birthday, by the way.
Dave Morris. Dave Morris. Yeah.
Sorry. Happy birthday, Dave.
Yes.
And I just wanted to let you know that you have a credit in the movie.
We do, and Preston and I?
Yes. It's as the Preston and Steve show. It's collectively for the whole show. For the whole show. And you are very recognizable, and it's in the beginning of the movie. There's a fade-in
yes.
in the beginning of the movie,
yeah.
and we used the entire clip that Casey had sent me. He and I went through some extensive emails back and forth. But you are very recognizable. You say Philly in it. So it's
yes.
a very Philly movie.
Yeah.
And to begin with, you guys was fantastic.
Yeah,
thank
that
you.
Was that was Corey Monteith's last film, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. It was. And that's very sad.
That was sad.
We were a little inundated when what happened.
Yeah.
We were a little inundated by people, and we had to kind of shut everything down and close all film and
sure, yeah.
I that off to everybody.
I remember that clearly. He was in the studio. Corey was in the studio
with David.
David for that whole deal. So collectively, Casey did receive a credit as a member of the Preston and Steve Show.
Yes, he did, and he did a wonderful job. He was a great person to deal with.
Accepting Casey.
Yeah. And Don, I'll never forget our time working on that film together.
Oh my God! Just the craft services alone,
and the friendships we made for life. It was just
we did it right here.
Philadelphia collectively did a lot for us on that film. You know, the Film Society, everybody really pitched in. We got a lot out of Philadelphia.
You know,
from the police to the train station, everything.
You know, Preston. Preston's on the film,
The Greater Philadelphia Film Office. I'm a board member.
I know that. Yeah, I know that.
All right. Well,
we got a lot of stuff. We couldn't have really done a movie without it.
All right. Nice. Well, we'll see you for the sequel.
Don, do you have anything? You working
you
on anything in the future?
Not at the moment.
Okay. All right. Well, nice work on that film.
On
we appreciate the heads up, man, and thanks for listening too. Okay.
You got it. Thank you, everybody.
All right. Take care, Don. We'll see you later.
Accepting.
It is a good movie.
It is.
I can't believe you impersonated me.
It was unbelievable. It was incredible. And no one could tell the difference.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. Except my voice was a little too high.
Snort dort.
Snort dort. Thanks, Pastor. Things seem to be out of hand at the Wooden Crust Station.
Hey, we got a text from somebody who works at the Whole Foods in Plymouth Meeting, and they slice meat for David Morse.
Whoa!
Connection, so
I want you to slice my meat, but I have a specific way I like it sliced. Yes, Mr. Morse. I want it laterally against the fat.
He's an imposing guy. He's very tall.
And soft-spoken.
And
soft-spoken.
He's very soft-spoken. He's very nice, but like he would that's pretty much what you would think if you saw him at Whole Foods.
Right, yeah.
Slice it correctly.
Where do you have your circus peanuts? They made me laugh.
Preston, I'm looking at you right now on you do have a
I have an IMDb because I did voiceover work for television for a stretch there. So I do have some.
Well, you also have a credit as on It's Always Sunny and Trading Spaces. There's no picture. How do you put a Preston Elliott picture?
I have nothing to do with that. I don't know. Maybe I'll send him one.
Send him the Hummer pick that you guys trade back and forth.
God, I got that this morning. By the way, it's back on.
Uh-huh.
A little war. All right, let me get to a couple other things.
Yeah, we have things to do.
This is sad to hear if it is indeed the case, but this is the finding. Austin Powers star Vern Troyer's death has been officially determined a suicide.
So question here.
Really?
As I was reading this, a suicide, is the case that overall his lifestyle was self-destructive, which led to a suicide? Or is the suggestion that that night he purposefully drank so much that because he was trying to kill himself?
Well, here's what they called it. He died of alcohol intoxication, quote, in a suicidal manner.
Okay.
According to a report from the Los Angeles coroner's office that Page Six received access to. I don't know, Steve. It sounds like he intentionally drank himself to death. But, who knows? But that is just horribly sad. Horribly sad.
The last time we had Vern Troyer in the studio, he was wonderful.
Yeah, he was funny.
Fun. We were taking pictures. You know, he had been mercurial up to that. You know, there'd been interviews where it'd be, oh, okay, I wasn't so good. But the last time he seemed to be really having fun.
Yeah.
Seemed to be good. We were, it's so sad.
He was 49 years old, passed away on April 21st, so it's sad to hear that. All right, well, here's a better story, at least somebody who's recovering. Former talk show host Montel Williams says he'll never take another day for granted. Williams suffered a stroke in late May.
Whoa!
He sat down with people to discuss how his life has changed. He said, this gave me a wake-up call in a lot of ways. I used to be one of those overly intense people, period. And I was flying three flights a week, cross-country, back here, over there, up there, down there.
And I was always on the phone managing five businesses. He said, it's time to slow down a little bit.
You have got to stop and smell the roses.
Yes.
Mac Davis told us.
You do.
So many years ago.
Now, he seems like one of those guys that would go, even though he's not on television anymore or doesn't, you know, he's not that high profile. He always seemed like one of those real kinetic guys. And
well, now he's an advocate, right? Because he's he suffers MS. From MS.
Yeah. Let's see here.
Go with it.
Let's go with this. Here's some money stuff. Even by the fat cat standards of media moguls, Fox exec Rupert Murdoch is making bank. Per the Hollywood Reporter, by selling most of his 21st Century Fox to Walt Disney, he's picking up $8.8 billion.
Holy hell.
In his pocket, man.
$8.8 billion.
Ticketmaster CEO Michael Rapino, meanwhile, earned about $70.6
million.
While ousted CBS CEO Les Moonves scored $69.3 million, but Murdoch made almost $9 billion.
Jeez. Murdoch has been in, you know, part of news for years and years and years. He was, I think he was originally with CBS.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's 87 years old, by the way. Hey, I'm surprised to see this. Shares in AMC Networks tumbled more than 10% this week as Wall Street tries to figure out what's going on with the network. The ratings for the ninth season premiere of Walking Dead were down 47% in total views, according to this report that I read.
I don't even, though, from what I watched, understand, it's the highest, most viewed show on television.
But I didn't watch it the night that it premiered, and I think maybe that this is an indicator of that. The fact
it's possible. I think, though, there is a rule governing if it's watched within 48 hours of its original airing.
Okay, well,
that constitutes
that.
Being watched live.
Well, let me ask if DVRing it means anything.
It does.
Right, I would think that it does.
Yeah, and they can tell when it's been DVR'd.
They would count that as
a viewer.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
But that's interesting because it's the biggest show on television. It has been quite a stretch.
Well, Doug Benson was in here yesterday. We were talking about it, and, you know, and the ratings are huge for the show. But
it was a big episode, too.
It was
lot happened.
Something big. There were really, really big deaths.
Yeah,
and... it's interesting, though, they started to, and I don't, how can we talk about the show without spoiler alert stuff? If they start to go down that same path again with, you know, Negan versus Rick, come on, man. Let's go somewhere else. It's been a couple of years now. Let's go somewhere else.
I will tell you what they're building to do. What it appears to be is that it's now going to be the people that we've known and love as one unit are going to split.
Yep.
And come like back each other.
And maybe like go against Avengers. Each other.
Yeah, I think that's what we're going to see.
Yeah. They're starting to lay the groundwork for that. But anyhow.
But at a certain point, I know what you're saying. Any show of this nature, you run the risk of redundancy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm actually almost ready for them to start a Cure. Let's tie this thing
I don't know how the graphic novel, you know, how this story. I know there's a ton of story there, but we'll see. The premiere episode was really good, though.
By the way, Goldman Sachs has downgraded AMC to a sell from neutral, and Guggenheim's, I don't know what that means.
Oh, man, you're speaking my language
and
now.
Guggenheim's Michael Morris cut his 12-month price target from to $58 from $60. So that's
all. But it is a neutral?
That's all stock stuff.
Yeah. They say that it's in risk of becoming grody to the max.
Okay. It's already gagged him with the spoon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Is neutral like an 80s term that I don't remember?
I have no idea.
Grody to the max.
That's already my favorite line of the day. It's only 7:05.
By the way, we got another text from somebody who...
knows where Pulsar is?
No, David Morse. No, David Morse said hi to them at Liberty One.
There we go.
You're in the club.
Such a great guy.
Honestly, well, we missed out. Who were we talking about who we wanted to? Avery Brooks. Somebody said they were going to try to get him to call on his birthday. But David Morse, is he here today? Is he in Philadelphia?
Yeah, probably.
He lives in the area. Kathy, you hang out with him all the time. You spot him all the time at the gym.
Here's another one. It says, three years ago, I went trick-or-treating with David Morse.
What?
I lived in the neighborhood next to my best friend's house growing
Wow.
My next-door neighbor.
The punctuation's off, but yeah. So.
House. Every year, he would bring his kids to that neighborhood to trick-or-treat and...
we would always follow him and would essentially stalk him all night.
So that's not really going trick-or-treating with David Morse. Yeah. It's trailing him while he's trick-or-treating.
That's
he's
like
also
saying you commute to work with David Morse because you're on the Schuylkill.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, you know, sort of.
I think our best lead is the deli meat guy.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I mean, because who doesn't like the person that cuts fresh meat for them?
I'm a big fan of deli meat.
Yeah. All right, let's do the clips. Station 19 takes place just a few blocks away from Seattle. what just came in? Oh, stop it.
What? Sorry.
Now there's just dirty stuff coming in.
That didn't happen.
There we go. It says I pegged David Morris last night, and then he tossed myself. Okay.
That did not happen.
How do you know?
I don't believe that. Because Kathy and David were working out yesterday.
All right. Let's see here. Station 19 takes place just a few blocks away from Seattle Grace Hospital from Grey's Anatomy. So viewers see lots of recurring characters. Here, actor Jason George talks about his character's transition from doctor to firefighter.
He's a bit of an adrenaline junkie. It's gotten him in trouble as a doctor. You know, cut a dude open with a clipboard, cut a woman open in the hallway. You know, he's got plenty of life experience. He's done a lot of things in his life, but he's the new firefighter. He's the rookie. It's fun playing somebody who's got the courage and confidence to start over.
No, thanks.
So new episodes of Station 19 at 9 o'clock on ABC tonight. Let's do the next clip. I Feel Bad is a new comedy on NBC that's been striking a chord with a lot of different people, particularly women. Here the show star, Sarayu Blue, talks about what makes the show feel so relatable.
Oh, I think it's a very real representation. I mean, I think that's part of what makes the show so relatable. Just the diversity of humans, of ages, of backgrounds, and then on top of that, just sort of the working and juggling personal life, just trying to find a way to survive in this world.
What the f***?
I've watched this show. It's actually amusing. I believe Amy Poehler is the producer of it.
Okay.
And she is good, the lead we just heard talking.
All right. And a new episode of I Feel Bad comes out tonight, 9:30 on NBC.
Press, yes. On your IMDb credit, it's, you know, things that you want to know about Preston Elliott.
It says knows location of Pulsar.
No, it says once... This is good.
Good.
Once met Amy Grant backstage.
Oh my God!
Yes.
Are you serious?
In what Steve Morrison has described as one of the greatest moments of Preston's life.
I love that. I love that. That's on there.
Hey. What else is there?
Enjoys Knob Creek bourbon.
That's true.
Very good.
Has two sons, Parker and Carter.
Wow.
Wow, yes. This is old because they don't have Caroline.
She's 11 years old. His daughter, Caroline Marie, was born in April of 2007.
Wow. Is that her middle name?
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
This is a little incorrect. Wow. But a little right. Well, okay, never mind. It's up in the air.
No, go ahead.
It says, was born and raised in St. Louis, but has since moved to Philadelphia area where he currently lives.
You're here now? I was born in Tennessee.
Okay. Exactly.
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
grew up in St. Louis.
Is currently co-host with Steve Morrison of the highly rated Preston and Steve show on 93.3 WMMR Philadelphia.
How about that crap?
There it is.
Is this interesting?
I don't think I'm on there. Am I on there?
Well, we'll have to find out.
Right. But... Well, we do have to take a break.
Oh, no,
Jim Morrison. It's already 10 after 7, so we'll find out. We have to take a break and come back, but M. Night Shyamalan's going to be here this morning, as well as our friend Gary Goldman, and Gary's doing a bunch of shows at Helium this week.
Really?
Yeah, he's doing 3 on Saturday alone. So we'll take a break, and we'll also have a chance to win $1,000 coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll be right back. Make sure you stay with us, all right?
Preston and Steve.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Very, very fall-like, you know, with a kind of a... shorter days and the changing of the leaves and this kind of moody feel and woodland creatures running around inside your house.
Yes. It's when they start to head inside for the warmth.
I guess
they do. It's only 80 degrees outside.
Well, it happened to Nick last week, I think, right?
On Sunday. So my friend Matt came over with his son Luke, and we were going going to the NASCAR race together. We're heading down to Dover, which, by the way, was awesome. I didn't get a chance to tell you guys, but I had so much fun. I'd never been to that before. And so the four of us were getting ready to leave head from where I live down to Dover. And Steve, you know, it takes a little while getting down there.
Just a bit.
Yeah. But it was well worth it. It's so much fun. So we're getting ready, getting the car packed up and ready to head down. And I had to get something out of my garage And I go in and it smelled bad, you know, and like I look in the and there was something that had fallen off the shelf in the garage. And I have a relatively neat, relatively empty garage. So if something's out of place, I notice it right away. And I look in the trash can and the trash was spilled out all over the place. So something had gotten in there. And then I looked in the corner of the garage and there were two relatively large turds. So I'm like, all right, well.
Those aren't mine.
Those aren't mine. I go to the bathroom like I'm supposed to. And it was some kind of animal. So I say to my friend Matt, I was like, dude, come here. Take a look at this. You know, do you see anything? And we look in the trash can and we're like, something's up. And I have a little attic in my garage, just a storage space. So there's a ladder that goes up to that. And I go up and I'm looking around and I'm trying to figure out what's going on. And I look in the corner. And there were two eyes looking right back at me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
It was a raccoon.
Wow. And it's during the day.
And it was during the day. Run away. There's some insulation up in that part of the attic of the garage. And so he was starting, or she was starting to make a little bit of a nest.
Yeah. Oh, you know, man.
Girl.
I don't. I said okay. He or she. So whatever.
It had curlers and a tear.
Well, I posted this video up on Instagram, and there's a link to it up on PrestonandSteve.com, too. So if you want to see the video of it, it's relatively brief. My son took the video of it.
The thing came crawling down from the roof.
That took a while, Preston.
It crawls down the side of the front of the garage. That's crazy.
So that's the front of the garage. Where we originally found him was in the back right corner of the garage. So Matt is in one corner of the garage trying to chase him out with a broom and a wiffle ball bat. And then I had the bright idea of going to get the garden hose. So I go get the hose, and while I'm getting the hose, he works his way from the back of the garage to the front of the garage,
right
around front. And Matt's using the broom and banging up against the ceiling and the wiffle ball bat. And then I go get the hose, and I start spraying him. And at that point, I started to feel bad for the little guy.
Yeah. Yes, you know? I completely hear you. They don't know.
They don't know.
And you can't argue with the fact that they're cute. They got the little hands. And
yeah.
It's, you know, they are adorable.
But Matt is sort of poking at him with the broom handle and the baseball bat, trying to use both of them to try to chase him down and agitate him. And he started getting pissed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he's doing that. Snapping at him and biting at him. And at this point, we're like, we got to get this guy out of here.
It's a danger.
Well, yeah.
Before you finish the story, seeing this and your description of what you guys are using reminds me of two different movies where something gets in the house. There's one which is The Great Outdoors.
And then there's the
Big Chill. And both of them involve a bat inside the house. And what everybody will improvise a suit of armor of some sort.
Something.
To cover their body or their head up with. Yep. And it either involves like a football helmet or a hockey helmet and shoulder pads, or you grab a blanket and put it on you or something to cover you. You're improvising your implements and your armor.
For me, it was quick. I reached for the bra and pumps.
How'd that go?
I was able to seduce the bat out of the house.
Okay,
we're looking at video footage of the movie The Great Outdoors, and Dan Aykroyd has a wastebasket on his head. He's taken a broom and taped a tennis racket to it, and he's put on a jacket and gloves. And John Candy has on a parka. And he's taking a fishing net and a tennis racket. Tennis racket seems to be
the choice. I was just going to say that is the go-to. In the multiple times I've ejected bats from the house, I've employed two things. I have like a welding glove, like a picker glove. And then the tennis racket. Yeah. So what I will do is, but again, even bats, little bats are so cute.
Sure.
So, you try to get them. But when they're flying, though,
oh my God,
it freaks you out.
Yeah. Well, you never know which direction they're going
to
go in.
And they're so incredibly good at negotiating your apartment and to have like...
So for us, the weapons were the push broom, the wiffle ball bat, and the garden hose.
Mm-hmm. And a gravy boat.
No, didn't need that. Didn't get that far. But for for Matt and I, it was a little daunting because you're trying to get this thing out of there and he's starting to bite and snap. And but for the boys, it was the funniest thing that had happened in weeks. They thought that this was hilarious. So Ben is taking video with his phone, and they were cracking up. So for them, it was highly entertaining. And then I started spraying him, and that's when Preston, you see him climbing down the outside of the garage.
Okay, so it was the water that did it.
It was the water that chased him away. So if you ever have a raccoon in your home, bring in the garden hose.
Yeah.
How do you think he got in?
I don't know. I think maybe we
posing
left it out.
Posing as a UPS man?
No, I think either the garage door was left open overnight by accident or there was a spot in the corner where something had chewed through. But it seemed too small of a hole for a raccoon.
Make sure you shore that up because a space that you don't think they can get through, they can get through.
Wall, by the way.
And a lot of people think that sometimes with a dog door in the back of the house, raccoons can come
Wait
through that
minute.
As well.
Steel wool.
Yeah, yeah. So because they can't like chew through.
I've
stuff.
Heard that too. Yeah,
and interesting.
You can. It's malleable, and then you can shove it into wherever the holes are. But I don't know if I need to call an exterminator at this point. I've checked the garage every day since. Okay. Haven't seen them come back. But
that's why I get nervous about my kids when they leave. They just don't. They don't know how to shut doors. They just don't know how to shut doors. And so
little bastards.
It's frustrating. Yeah. I mean, actually, that was my fault. I left my car door open all night last week. That was my own fault. But
you just don't know how to shut the
I
door.
I just don't know how to shut doors. It happens a lot.
Now, when you had your hose in the garage, were you concerned about getting anything wet?
Yes.
I
was concerned about dousing the insulation and pretty much anything else.
And your rare raccoon art collection.
Right, yeah.
Might be some drywall or something like that.
But then I started spraying him, and he didn't come down right away. So that now he just looked like a wet, sad dog, you know, and he's just looks so pathetic and angry. Yeah.
You feel bad. I saw a animal control was at a house over, I guess it was in Germantown, and there was a whole family of raccoons that they were getting out of a well outside of a basement, you know, one of those window wells, and you feel bad for them, you know, and
they are adorable.
They are adorable.
Yeah, and they're just animals.
They're doing what they're doing.
Trying to survive and thrive in this workaday
world we live in. I'm just a raccoon standing here.
I tell you what, your thought may change, though, if you had one come at you.
Yes.
You might not think they're so cute anymore. I've never had it happen.
Well, we've talked about it. We've talked about stories of them, like they've killed dogs. I remember I was, and I've said this story on the air, I was in upstate New York, I was doing a comedy show, and I was walking across the commons, and I thought these were large dogs running across the grounds, and it was a whole bunch of raccoons. Huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
They can get big.
Yeah.
We were looking at a video just now Nick had up, I guess it was on social media of somebody, but they literally were being the Pied Piper. They had a flute.
Yeah.
And they were leading a group, and they were big raccoons, man.
But I guess they can be even trained as pets.
Yes.
Like, you know, and some people will domesticate them.
Because of their hands, they can play the piano as well. Which
right.
hang on. I want to go to... I just love the improvised implements, the improvised weapons of
sorts.
Animal
control,
That people will use. And I'll go to Katie. Hi, Katie. Good morning.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what?
What's up, Katie?
So I was home by myself. This was probably in high school, so a good 10 years ago. And I heard a noise downstairs, and we have a very low basement down there. So I'm like, oh, crap. Someone's in the house, and I'm by myself. This is fantastic. So I turn to look towards the basement door, and a bat comes flying at my face and then starts doing laps around my kitchen. So I ran and hid into my bedroom, which has, like, a really good significant gap underneath. And I'm like, oh, crap, this thing's going to come and attack me. It's going to be, like, vampire.
Right. Yeah, that's it. You're going to be the walking dead for the rest of your life, feeding on the blood of humans.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I called my brother to come help me because he had just gone down the street to get a friend of his, and he's like, "All right, hold on, I'll be there in a second." So when he gets home, his friend I hear screaming, and I'm like, "Carlin, can you help me? Can you help me?" And he's like, "Yeah, let me get it." Where'd my brother go? He went into the garage to get some things. So I come out. His friend is swinging at the bat with a Gatorade bottle.
Okay.
That'll definitely work, I think.
Right. Yeah.
And my brother has now a bicycle helmet on, a jacket, some gloves, and is carrying the back of a lawnmower that catches all the grass clippings.
Oh, my God. He's swinging that to try to catch the bat with the grass catcher from a lawnmower?
Yes. And he's swinging that around, and grass clippings are flying everywhere now.
You know, it doesn't hurt. It would not hurt you if you're prone to living in a house where this happens periodically. Get a butterfly net.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's never happened since then, and I think we eventually did catch it and throw it outside, but it was just fun to watch the grass go flying. I definitely took pictures of them in their bat fighting gear.
But I love his getup. That's great. So a helmet and gloves seem to be the common item.
Yeah. Oh, to protect your hands. Yeah. I have no hair, so that's not an issue. I remember though catching Preston one time with the large gloves. I had the tiny bat in my hands. I'm like, okay, buddy, you made a mistake. I open up the screen door. I throw it out, and like a boomerang, it just went wham.
Right back in the house.
You son of a bitch.
Oh, my God. I will go to Jed next. Hi, Jed. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys today?
Good. What's up, Jed?
So we had a raccoon that had taken up residence in my friend's garage, and they live out in the countryside, so it happens a lot. Mm-hmm. And when we found it, it was us getting ready for having an afternoon of fun, and it turned into chasing a raccoon around the garage with a hockey stick and a lacrosse stick, which we were younger, so it didn't work out as well as we thought, and his dad ended up having to get a Havahart trap to trap him.
A what?
A Havahart trap, a humane trap.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. I was confused by that. All right, now, what did you run? Was this the same day you were able to get your hands on one, or did this drag on for a couple of days?
His dad actually owned the trap already, so when he got home, it was, you know, you guys shouldn't chase the raccoon in the house. But, you know, and so then it was.
Now, Mom always said, don't go chasing the raccoon
around the
house.
Listen to what your father has to say. You boys shouldn't chase the raccoons around the house. I'm going to bed. Thanks, Dad.
All right, so
those words of wisdom.
He had a trap that was specifically for that because of where they live. But you guys thought you would take a stab at it by grabbing the lacrosse stick and the hockey stick.
Yeah, we thought it was a good idea.
Well, you know what? No, there's nothing for you need something that has a wide, a wide face. Like that's why a tennis racket works, and you can sort of push it against the wall if you're trying to be humane.
Right, but you also have to. You want to get it out now.
You want it out now.
Okay. This is a problem that needs to be dealt with right now. What's nearby, and then you just grab it and go. You know,
there is
I mean?
Something to of like. Listen, an animal the size of a raccoon in your house. Now, mind you, this was your garage.
But yeah,
it is not uncommon for them to get into that. And we have had many bizarre stories recently, Preston, where you've had the errant bear wander into someone's house.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Oh, or the cougar.
Cougars. Yes, yes. It was just crazy.
Kathy's mom had the possum eating the cat food.
Eating the cat food in the house,
living and crapping all over the bathroom.
And the
is
possum.
That wild?
The possum was coming and going, right? It was like a, you know.
Kathy, you said you first noticed an additional toothbrush in the holder.
No, you know what? I think it was coming and going from outside. So my parents had this deck, and they think that it was living under the deck. And then somehow it got into the house. Once it got in, it was in there for about 2 weeks, my parents think, without them freaking knowing.
There are services that will come in a humane fashion, get the, you know, animal out. But, I mean, they're trying to do exactly what we want, the warmth. We want to get in where it's comfortable.
I have, I've got plenty of wooded area by where I live and farmland and stuff like that. I really don't see raccoons that much. I see foxes all the time. I don't think they are the same as raccoons. They're very specific about where they want to be. As to, you know, raccoons kind of scavenge a lot.
You'd
more,
be surprised how many. And you know what I see in my neighborhood now? And I see there's one that'll occasionally dart through my backyard, a coyote.
You told me about that.
Yes.
That's pretty wild. I haven't seen a coyote yet.
Yeah, I don't think a fox would want to, burrow in your garage at any point. You know, they probably would prefer to be outside. But after I sprayed the raccoon and he ran out and he ran into the next door neighbor's yard, and we saw him about 3 or 4 minutes later. He was walking around the next door neighbor's yard looking so defeated. I just man.
But it's always in a place. I know. And you
leave his wallet in
and
the
they'll
garage?
Be fine. Yeah. Listen, buddy, here, let me hook you up. Here's a 20. But it's when you're there in the sanctity of your home.
Right.
You open up, say, like your spice cabinet, and there's a burrow.
And there was just trash. And some people are texting in, and I got this on Instagram as well, but people call them trash pandas. Like, they're just
they are.
It's nasty. They're a nuisance.
Well, I used to live in Northport, Long Island, and dear God, did they have a runaway raccoon population. You had to put your garbage out. You had to bungee the lid on the top. You had to put weights on that. And even then, it was a crapshoot.
I mean, you remember the struggles that I had, the whole raccoon saga years and years ago.
The story of a boy and his lifelong battle with the raccoons. Raccoon. Well,
Raccoon. But, you know, if you recall, it wasn't just the raccoons. Like, they were working in cahoots with the squirrels. The squirrels were chewing through the lids. Of my trash can.
Raccoons in cahoots with squirrels.
So wait a minute. Were the squirrels working for the raccoons?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So I have some work for you.
Yeah.
And I didn't have anywhere to put my trash cans. They had to live outside. And then eventually I had just gotten so tired. Because, dude, there was trash all over my yard.
And it sucks. Every night. It sucks.
You have to clean it
Picking up chicken bones and stuff like that
from the raccoons. I was able to secure like a little bit of an area in my shed. And that's my shed. That's not a trash can.
You want a piece of me?
I was starting to get pissed, and now I have.
What about having the dog? Does that help?
No, having a garage helps.
Okay.
So I actually, all of my trash cans and recycling bins actually stay in the garage.
Until garbage. Yeah. That's what I do.
I won't even put my trash out the night before. I do it the morning of because I don't want
to. Because, Preston, you know, if you don't leave your garbage cans in the garage, there's no way you can develop a maggot population.
Oh, my God. That happens every year.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go to, this sounds interesting. I'm going to go to Chris talking about having a critter in the house. Hi, Chris, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, what's up, bud?
Hey, when I was 20 years old, this was in the summertime in July, I had a call from my girlfriend. She said, get over to my apartment. There's a bat in my apartment. You got to help me. So I put on a flannel shirt, jeans, boots, gloves, ski mask, the whole deal. I didn't want this bat getting on me. Yeah. And I brought a fishing net to catch it. So I get over there, I walk up to the second floor, I turn the corner, and I hear surprise. It was a 21st birthday surprise.
Oh my God. And you showed up in your bat gear.
That's awesome.
Oh my God.
That's perfect.
I like that. Yeah. That's a good one. All right. Thanks, Chris. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Were you sort of on retainer with exes and people in your life? I was always the one that would call. A lot of my friends have been, you know, women over the years, and mm-hmm. I would get the call. Can you come over and kill this or get this out of the house or whatever? It would happen fairly often.
No,
yeah.
That didn't happen to me.
Yeah.
No, I had an ex-girlfriend call me to pick her up from a one-nighter one time.
That was there you go.
No.
Did you show up in flannel and boots and a fishnet?
Funny part about it is I was in bed with somebody else.
Really?
When she called me.
Oh, yeah. Did you go get her?
No.
I'm with your mother.
He's actually a famous hockey player.
Yep. Really?
I hear him in the background. He's like, don't call that guy. Brendan Shanahan.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. I
know. All right.
Wow.
He's one of the greats, actually.
Don't call him.
Don't call that guy. She's like, no, it's cool. Anyway, that's another story for another time.
For another time.
So what'd you do? Did you put the hose on him?
Yeah. Tennis racket?
Hey, that's getting me wet, eh?
Let me go to, let's see here. I'm going to go to Rachel. Hi, Rachel. Good morning.
Morning.
What's up, Rach?
So anyway, what happened was there was a skunk that fell into our window well, which your person who answered the phone had no idea what a window well was. So anyway, the skunk fell into the window well, and my husband called the game warden to find out how you get a skunk out of a window well. Well, it was astronomical cost to get the skunk out. So he decided he was going to devise his own way to get the skunk out. And he took a piece of wood, and he covered it with carpeting because skunks don't know how to jump. So the skunk would eventually, I guess,
crawl out.
On his way out.
Yes.
So the skunk was laying at the bottom of the window well, and I thought, oh my God, this is so sad. He's going to starve in there. So I looked up on the internet, what do skunk like to eat? And they like to eat apples. So I cut up an apple and I threw an apple down there. Needless to say, my husband was like furious with me. Well, eventually the skunk did get out, but then what's happened since then is my dog goes out back and she's been skunked twice.
Oh, has been sprayed by the skunk twice.
Oh, really?
Yeah, your phone connection is a little bad, so it's hard to understand you. But
Thanks, Rachel. Skunks are
a whole other issue because they have reach. You don't have to be right next to them.
Yep.
If they spray you, that spray can travel cover a distance, at least a couple yards.
I'm gonna back up what she said about the window well though, because I have three window wells.
Yeah, yeah.
And I used to call it the graveyard because mice, snakes,
they get
frogs,
stuck in there.
We get stuck down there, and I didn't realize it, and they die.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to put covers on them because it lets light into our basement.
Sure.
So
did you get the ones that allow light through?
Yeah, I didn't want to do that either. So, but I did divide. But I felt bad because I was always down there. I'm going to
snakes
and you know mice and all that stuff, which is a pain in the ass getting them out of there because they don't want to be caught, even though you're trying to save them. So what I did is I got some 2x6s.
Okay,
and I made little ramps.
Huh.
And I put them in there, and I actually took the time.
to take something and to score the wood,
okay,
so that they could actually have
something to hold on to.
Footholds.
Wow,
and it's worked. I don't have any more.
Does that work with the snakes and everything?
I haven't seen a snake
okay,
yet.
Okay, so it's using the wood,
but definitely the mice and the frogs have been able to find their ways out.
You should put little signs down there. This way, little fella.
I should. You know what? I really should.
Little billboards
in case they don't read English.
Yeah.
Honestly, make an escalator.
A little mini Dunkin' Donuts.
So some people were texting in, and I received a few comments on social media too that suggested like motion detecting sprinklers or lighting in places like this. Have you guys ever tried that?
I have.
Okay.
We actually had them in this place in Northport where I had such a trouble with the raccoons, and it was the lights would come on. They actually did work a bit though. If you have a resolute animal, they're going to get in there regardless.
And then eventually they're used to the lights coming on.
Right,
or whatever,
and they put on a little show. Hello, my baby. Okay. Hello, my honey. Hello, my ragtime girl.
I didn't know they made motion-activated sprinklers or something that will spray.
Yes. They have everything. Listen, I think I recommend it to you, Kathy, with your cats jumping up on the counter. They have a proximity. These proximity devices you set up on your counter, and when the cat breaks the beam, it goes psh. Sprays hair, and the cat will freak and jump.
Except my cat, who likes it.
The cat turned around for a photo shoot with the hair blown.
Yes, and he was like, "Oh, take my picture." Yeah.
Well, I wonder if they might. And this sounds mean, but if you have a problem with a raccoons or something like that trying to get into your home, maybe something that sprays like, you know, pepper spray or something like that would actually really say, don't come back.
Right, here, right. I mean? You have to almost teach a behavior, you know, to them. And so it has to happen a couple of times. Mm. And also, but with you, you have to make sure that the scent is diminished. Yeah.
I think that a better option for you, Nick, would be to maybe bait the raccoon into your neighbor's yard.
Yeah.
Raccoon food all over the garage.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some people were saying grapes, that raccoons like grapes. And that's so good.
You can throw those right over the fence.
You know what raccoons like? They like food.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter.
I
had them eating goldfish crackers out of my hand.
That's right.
Remember, Robbie?
Wait, you fed him out of your hand?
I told you this story many times.
We heard this story thousands of times.
Yeah, but hang on. Was it while he was in a trap?
No.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. Well,
we were playing golf one time.
That was during the day.
And we saw
that was a mangy looking thing.
Dude, don't go near that thing.
Yes.
And here you are feeding this one by hand.
Well,
hypocrite.
That time, Preston, I was dead sober. It was a mangy looking thing. And C, it was in the middle of the day.
Okay.
When I had this thing eating out of my hand, I had just gotten back from a wedding. It was late at night. I went outside.
You were feeling good.
Yeah. And we had developed, like, it was a quick bond.
You had an understanding.
How was the wedding?
Yeah. I was like, man, it was a really good time. Do you want some goldfish?
Do I know them? Is this family or is this friends?
No, you don't know them.
I have to say I'm a little peckish. I'd love to talk to you, but I'm not thinking straight.
Hang on.
Hook me up?
Yeah, I got some goldfish. You want some goldfish?
Oh, bingo.
Okay, hang on.
Love it. Yeah, you go get those and I'll find us a place to sit.
Comes back, he's smoking a cigarette.
Hey.
Look at that sky.
What did I tell you?
Never leave in Delco.
Those things are going to kill you.
I know. It's my one thing, though, you know?
Gotta have a vice.
Mm-hmm. I don't drink. But this, taking a cool drag on a night like that. It's just everything. Just everything to this little raccoon.
Yeah.
Smoking raccoon.
From Touchstone Pictures, the story of a friendship. An interspecies friendship. Me. The raccoon in me.
The raccoon in me.
Raccoon.
Raccoon.
Oh, my.
Starring Casey.
Oh, dear Lord. All right. Anyway, wait, there was another call I was going to go to real quick. Hang on a second. Yeah, let me go to let me go to Chico real quick. Hey, Chico, you're on the air. Good morning.
What's the deal, bitches?
Yo, buddy. All right, you have an interesting story. Do tell.
Oh, man. Interesting story ain't the word. When I was younger, I had a girlfriend, and her dad was a prize coon hunting dog kennel. He had a kennel that they would raise coon hunting dogs.
Yeah.
And the one time the dad came across a coon, I mean, obviously, you know, that's what they do. They trap raccoons. And
right.
They came across one that had some babies. So he decided to bring the baby home to the daughter, and that was my girlfriend at the time. And sure enough, she kept it as a pet, and...
How, what kind of pet was it, Chico? Was it you know, good, and or was it a handful?
Oh, it was a handful. I mean, it was cool when it was little, and like their hands feel funny, yeah, like leathery, and, mm-hmm,
yeah,
and they would do little things. But she called it, his name was Snickers.
Snickers.
It loves Snicker bars.
Oh, Snickers.
Yeah.
Snicker bars.
Okay.
And then what the problem happened was, long
I love the Snickers.
Yeah, you bring me my Snickers.
Hey, Chico, hook a brother up with some Snickers.
Yeah. Hey, Chico, bring me a Snickers.
Chico, over there by the TV, there's a bag full of Snickers. Why don't you sashay over one with two?
What's happening?
Where are my cigarettes?
After my little doobie.
I feel my nice leathery hand.
Yeah, I know. I'll use moisturizer.
When it was little, it would crawl around her shoulders and like hang out in her hair and do all this crazy stuff. But as it got older, it just started doing what it wanted to do. And
yes, it's a wild animal.
As a teenager, you know how teenagers can be.
Yeah. Did you ever, so everyone here was kind of thinking, did you ever look at its human-like hands and look at your junk and think,
looks huge in that.
They got some sharp nails, man. That thing.
Oh, yeah. True.
I can clip them, dude. Yeah. Just depends on how many Snickers you're ready to give me.
Yes.
You give me a fun-sized bag of Snickers, I'll bring you all the way to the end, if you know what I'm saying. Leather hands and no leather hands.
Nails or not.
Steve, you got issues, bro.
Thank you, Chico.
Steve, you got issues. Yeah.
Chico just called you out.
Chico bailed on his story. Snickers. Wow. All right, well, Nick managed to get the raccoon out of his garage, but you recommend the hose as a way to do it if possible.
The hose also works for washing out the raccoon poop from that was left behind. But
purpose.
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, I felt bad spraying the poor little
guy.
No,
you wanted to do it in a humane way.
Out.
You could not have the animal in the house like that.
Yeah.
But the fact that you did it and successfully got it out humanely is wonderful.
Yep. All right. Cool. Anyhow, let's take ourselves a break. A reminder that in the next 9 minutes, I'm supposed to give you a word. We'll see if we can get back in time for that. And that may be worth $1,000. It's MMR's Birthday Bucks Part 2. We have a couple of great guests coming by this morning. Gary Goldman's going to be here. He's at Helium Comedy Club. And our very good friend, Mr. M. Night Shyamalan.
Yes.
Will be in the studio, too. Do you want me to give away this? That's why you brought that out?
Yeah, well, I got a few different things that you can give away. Whatever you want, man.
You know what? Bert Kreischer is doing his Body Shots tour, and we are presenting this. It's not until March. It will be at the Keswick Theater, but how can you miss going to a Bert Kreischer show in Philadelphia?
Absolutely.
Saturday, March 16th. Tickets are on sale Friday at 10 a.m. at AXS.com and noon at the box office. And there's a pre-sale Thursday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Password is Bert, B-E-R-T. We'll take caller number 10, and we will give you a pair of tickets to this event. 215-263-WMMR. We'll be back in a moment.
Throughout 2018, MMR celebrates 50 years rockin' Philly. Keep listening for special birthday events and special programming from our long, strange trip together. Every hour this weekend, we highlight 1983, the year MMR turned 15. It was the year Cabbage Patch Kids and Glowworms ruled the toy aisle, while we saw the birth of the moonwalk and the finale of MASH on TV. At the movies, we went on vacation with the Griswolds for the first time and saw the last of Darth Vader in Return of the Jedi. At MMR, the DJs had new music from these bands: Talking Heads, Def Leppard, The Police, David Bowie, Billy Idol, ZZ Top, Ozzy Osbourne, U2, Kiss, and so many more from 1983, including the debut album from Metallica. Listen all weekend as we highlight another page from our scrapbook of shared musical memories.
Sponsored by Winter Airport Parking, Philadelphia's premier airport parking service. WinterAirportParking.net.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that's rocked Philly for 50 amazing years.
All right, we are set to do the Bizarre File, so let's do that very thing right now.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
It is brought to you this morning by CF Logistics, LLC. And CF Logistics, LLC is expanding its fleet and looking for professional drivers to join their family-owned company. You can apply today at cflogisticsllc.com. That's cflogisticsllc.com.
A father and son were drinking when a dispute arose, prompting the young man to bite his dad.
He bit his dad. Where did he bite his dad?
I don't really know. This. He also did some other things. As Pennsylvania police said, the 21-year-old son is now charged and accused of biting his father during a drunken domestic dispute in Luzerne County.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they have any good restaurants in Luzerne County. The suspect, identified as Jason Radginski, bit, punched, and elbowed his father during a drunken fight at a Plymouth Township home over the weekend. Radginski is also accused of grabbing an axe and using it to smash car windows and destroy a door of a home. He's on a rampage. Radginski then crashed his car. Police say Radginski later told them that he and his father had been drinking when the dispute began.
This town needs a library.
His blood alcohol content was 0.217%, more than 2.5 times the legal limit for driving. No immediate word on the severity of the father's injuries, and there were no specifics on the nature of the dispute that prompted the son to allegedly chomp down on his dad, but he decided to bite him. It seemed like a good idea. We were just talking about raccoons. You ever heard of zombie raccoons?
I have. Oh.
They have infiltrated Brooklyn's favorite dog oasis. At least two trash pandas have so far tested positive for canine distemper virus in Prospect Park, many miles and a river away from another outbreak in Central Park. The two infected raccoons have been euthanized, but still, the Parks and Health Department ask visitors to keep their dogs on leashes lest the dogs bumble into the path of a distempered raccoon and mistakenly attempt to make friends.
Now, we'd have to stick a knife in their head to kill them, right?
I think that's the only way to take them out.
Only way to take them out.
In Central Park, at least 176 raccoons have died from the disease since June, while three other zombie raccoon cases have popped up in the Bronx. A virus that attacks its host nervous system is what this distemper is.
Oh, God.
It also, gastrointestinal and respiratory systems are attacked, eating away at motor skills and coordination. The symptoms resemble those of rabies and result in jerky, spasmodic movements as if the animal victims weren't in control of their bodies. And the zombie refers to the confused, occasionally aggressive state the animals often assume before death.
That's horrible.
The infected Central Park raccoons look like they were circulating, wandering, having spasms, and some of the raccoons have a nasal discharge.
They say it looks as if they're doing the electric slide.
Probably does. Distemper affects dogs as well. Also foxes, wolves, coyotes, raccoons, skunks, mink, and ferrets, and has been reported in lions, tigers, leopards, and other wildcats, as well as seals.
Okay, what's not affected? It's probably a shorter list.
It's a good question. Yeah. So watch out for the zombie raccoons if you happen to be heading into New York in the next few days. What started out as Halloween fun for a group in Nashville turned into real horror when a group says that they were approached by someone and unknowingly given a real knife, which was used to stab their friend. Yeah, police are investigating the stabbing.
That's not how you trick-or-treat.
Friday night outside of Nashville Nightmare, a popular Halloween attraction. Now, officers responded to the hospital reports of a stabbing victim. Police were told that the group and the friends were at the haunted house. While in line, they were approached by someone whom they thought was a character who worked at the haunted houses.
This is my wife's biggest fear, is that at these things, like a real lunatic would go, right?
Yeah.
The unknown person asked a woman in the group if the victim was messing around with her. The woman told police that she was playing along and said yes. The unknown person then handed the woman a knife, which she thought was a prop knife, and said, well, here, stab him. Police said the woman, only playing along and believing that it was a prop knife, stabbed the victim. And when the woman pulled back, she realized that there was blood on the knife and a hole in the victim's shirt and blood squirting from the victim's left arm.
Oh, my gosh.
Jesus.
The woman told
police that is diabolical.
She didn't mean to hurt the victim. Two others were in the group with the woman and the victim. And
imagine if it was a gun.
They corroborated the story about the prop knife. Medics responded and transferred the victim to be treated for his injuries. The person who walked up to the group is still unknown. They don't know who it was.
There have been examples of those prop knives sticking, the ones that retract up into the handle.
Yeah.
But the edges are blunt. They're not.
But if it's pointy, you can still at least puncture.
Yeah,
it now, but
I guess.
Maybe not be as bad. But you got to be careful with that stuff. A man who managed to damage a $300,000 sculpture said that he climbed it because he was bored. Hunter McDonald scaled a metal pole on the artwork, which is entitled Water Whirler,
which sits on the waterfront in Wellington, New Zealand.
I think I'm going to climb this.
He swung out over the water, but the stunt went wrong when the piece of art snapped and he plunged into the ocean. Crowds can be heard egging him on and then gasping as he dropped into the water and emerged with a bloody head. Today, Hunter has apologized and admitted that he is likely to face the wrath of the law. He said, I started to perform some of my new found gymnastic skills.
Oh, he's got newfound gymnastic skills.
He said, one thing led to another. It seemed I seemed to attract a bit of an audience, and I started to test the limits of the metal sculpture. He said, it's my day off. I was bored. He said, it was a nice day. The pole itself has rungs, and an idiot like me, it looks like a ladder.
He puts up a strong defense.
He said, there wasn't a sign that says don't climb. The metal sculpture snapped and hit him on the head. Hunter says that he rose out of the water coughing and spluttering and managed to doggy paddle to the side. It was made by the late artist Len Lai. It cost $300,000 to make, but the installation in 2006 pushed the final bill to $1 million.
Holy hell.
He's apologized, saying that it wasn't his intention to damage any property.
How much is he liable for?
They don't know yet.
It has to be insured.
Yeah, they got to wait until a judge takes a look at it and has their say. And then we'll do one last. I have a short story here. If you needed some nightmare fuel, here it is. A video, and I haven't seen the video yet. I've just read the description of it. At an ear, nose, and throat doctor's clinic in Lao Cai, Vietnam.
This is already bad.
Shows the doctor pulling, quote, a strange creature out of a patient's nose.
Okay. Strange creature out of a patient's nose, Kathy.
Mm-hmm. The doctor eventually completely removes the object, and it says it looks like a large leech.
This is not something we need to bring up into the studio.
No, you can put it up. I'll look. You don't need to look.
They're coming out of the patient's nose.
He looks like a huge snicker.
Apparently, the patient and witness laugh with surprise once it's out.
All right, let's take a look.
We're watching video footage.
I'm not going to watch it.
Now, they've got forceps up in this guy's nose. They have
throw up a little.
Don't look. I'll watch and I'll report it to you.
They have an object with a camera on it that they can stick up in there to see. And this guy's like, he's whipping the dude's head around too.
Yeah.
The dude is just sitting there.
They're looking up in his nose. And did he just take that
it
out of
like
his
nose? It looked like he put his mouth.
And put it in his mouth.
Is that nose to mouth porn?
I think he did it to moisten the camera. Oh my God. He's going way up in
this
there.
This is like a circus trick. Oh. It's a raccoon.
Oh, dude. He's starting to pull it out, and now... Oh, my God!
It is a huge leech.
My God.
It's alive?
It's alive. How in the F did that get up in his nose?
That's repulsive.
That is... my God.
I want to die.
I'm angry at this guy for letting that thing in his skull.
And he's laughing.
He's smiling.
He's laughing.
Oh, I'm sure he's a hit with the ladies.
Didn't he, though? All right, so... All right, that's what I have.
Yes, he got a leech in his nose.
In the bizarre file for you this morning. Wow, that was really disturbing. All right, don't forget you have about 3.5 minutes to get the word over to it. Enter it to. Of course, I'm talking about our birthday bucks
part 2
contest. To enter the word "world" to WMMR through the WMMR mobile app. We're at WMMR.com, and you just might win $1,000. We've been doing this every day for weeks now. Why don't we get you on board for that? We'll take a break. We'll come back in a second. Our buddy Gary Goldman is scheduled to be here in a little bit. M. Night Shyamalan is stopping in as well to talk about Shyamaween, the Halloween party that you want to be a part of. We'll
be back
in just a moment. Stay with us.
Whether social...
Hey, welcome in.
...or anti-social...
Hey, get out!
Join your MMR pals on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Groovy photos, videos, and social commentary. Plus, we find them the perfect place to waste time during the company meetings. Hashtag MMR rocks.
Real quick, I'm going to do a plug. And to our next guest, we call these butt plugs. In case you didn't know that, we do shart outs and butt plugs.
Just to break from the pack a little bit.
That's really vulgar.
Exactly. And so this is for the Edgely Fire Company. These guys helped us out with the Camp Out for Hunger when we did the Bucks Cove versus Delco with the hoses against each other.
Yeah.
And they have they're doing their fire prevention open house Friday night. And I have to apologize to the Harleysville Fire Company because theirs was, I think, last weekend, and I forgot to give it a
plug. Someone's house is burning down.
I apologize. It's my community, and I brain farted on that. So sorry, guys. Hopefully you had a great event. And so anyhow, Edgley's Fire Company is 6 o'clock Friday night. Food vendors, police canine demo, live fire demo, hot dog eating contest, all kinds of fun and frivolity for the family.
It does sound like fun and frivolity.
They're in Levittown, and details are posted on the community events page of WMMR.com. That is your butt plug. There you go. Right. Now we can welcome our next guest.
Lovely.
We're happy to have him here. There's nothing to do with butt plugs at all.
Not at all, no.
But he's got a lot of shows at Helium Comedy Club this weekend. Saturday, there's three.
Oh yeah, we added a 5 p.m.
That's awesome.
Which is a great validation. Thank you, Philadelphia. It's been a couple of years.
Gary. This is Gary Goldman.
Thank you. I got to give you your official name. Yeah.
It's been a while since I've been here.
It has.
I didn't realize it. It was so long. Ask me how long ago it was.
How long ago was it?
Last time I was here, I played the Spectrum.
Wow.
That's a reference.
Silly
reference. Hey, I love cheesesteak and Rocky.
Veterans Stadium.
Hey. You did your research. You ever go into a town and get the landmark wrong as you're sucking up
no,
the audience?
No, because I have to be honest with you. Unless it's a Philadelphia level city, I don't care. I don't care. I think it's a huge band recognizing your hometown,
yeah.
I think it's disingenuous and pandering.
Yeah.
Hey, Seattle, how are you? I mean, Seattle's a big enough city where I should know something about
Space Needle.
Space Needle.
And yeah, Sasquatch.
Now defunct Supersonics, but yeah, Sasquatch. Yeah.
What's the most obscure town you ever played? Like a small podunk town that just, it was so forgettable, but it somehow lodged its way into your brain.
Gee whiz. For the first time this year, I'm going to Des Moines.
Des Moines. You've never played Des Moines?
No, I've never played Iowa.
Wow.
Yeah, there are a number of states I've never performed in. Idaho, either of the Dakotas.
Okay.
And so I got a show in Des Moines, Iowa.
You've been a stand-up for decades, right?
25 years. October 8th, 1993 was my first.
Wow. How do you miss Ohio?
Iowa.
No,
I'm sorry, Iowa, yeah.
Iowa.
Yeah.
I've performed in Ohio.
Yeah.
Iowa? Because it's a flyover state, and I just don't know that I even have a single fan there.
All right.
This could be incredibly uncomfortable.
Take us back to October 25th.
October 8th, 1993.
One of those days in October, 1993, that open mic night. Take us back to that.
I did just well enough to hook me for life.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were you talked into it by some friends?
No.
Okay.
I was talked into it by myself. I'd wanted to do it since I was a little kid.
You were a college athlete?
My mother was very encouraging. She said, "You never make us laugh."
That's just what you needed to hear.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah. Yeah. And now she's thrilled by this.
When did that switch get flicked from the this is a horrible choice and you're going to be destitute and your life is over to, hey, you're successful?
Like 6 or 7 years to the first time I did the Tonight Show.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Tonight Show itself wasn't a big enough sell? I mean, she had to say. I mean, you at that moment when she saw, because you've done every.
Yeah.
I think you have the distinction of doing.
Yeah,
you've done every single late night show.
Yeah. So when I did the Tonight Show, I think that's when she realized things were going well.
All right, good.
And much like Jay Leno, I never touched my Tonight Show money. Have you ever heard an interview with him? He always has to tell you, I never touched my Tonight Show money.
Really?
We had him on just a little while ago.
How
do you survive?
It was all about cars.
Yes, yeah.
Wow. Imagine that. You have that kind of money that you never touch your Tonight Show money.
Yeah, which was probably like $30 million a year or something ridiculous like that. Yeah.
To keep going back to it, but that very first time that you stepped up on stage, so I'm curious as to somebody who walks into that and tries it out for the first time is, and I guess there's a couple of different approaches. There's either, hey guys, I'm doing this, I want you to come out and support me.
Right.
And
make needed six friends
or you needed
to get on stage.
That's how they work. Open mic nights work that way.
You had to bring six people.
Yeah, so. it's sort of, many clubs will have that restriction, so that's how they get an open mic night.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay, so that's how they get an audience for that too. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So you got the six.
I wasn't sure if it was a sneak away, I'm going to go do this, try it out, and if it's okay, I'll tell everybody. Okay.
No, I had to bring my friends, and they were incredibly supportive and it went well by open mic standards.
All right.
and it felt so good. I was hooked, and I just started doing bar shows, and it gets much worse before it gets better.
I'll bet.
It does. But and that's really what distinguishes people who are meant for it, who can just pass. And I also think it's a good sign, correct me if I'm wrong, Gary, but
sometimes even if a show's bombing, you can still have fun. Like, you still enjoy, you're having fun.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. You need a healthy level of delusion.
Yeah, exactly.
To even try it, because it's so hard to get good at. And very few people are good at it right away. So
any stage time I'll be there.
Yeah, I had a friend who used to do. He had a guitar and he would play at these clubs and bars and things like that. And when he took a break, I would go on and try to wrangle the audience, and they wouldn't even listen. But I was convinced that I needed to get on stage 5 times a week, or I wouldn't get any better. And I was yelling over these people.
It's horrible. So here's something you can probably remember, because I remember it for me when I was doing stand-up. What was the worst, most inappropriate booking you ever had, where it's like, how could you possibly think stand-up would work here, but they booked me at?
I remember having to do shows in which the stage was so far from the bar that nobody even knew a comedy show was going on. But they had a wireless mic. And so I would go to the bar and entertain the people around the bar.
You were just walking around the bar?
And it was lunch. It was lunchtime. Yes.
Wow. Yes.
Oh, and they just hated me.
They booked me to do a show at a place, and it was known as the place to go watch the hockey playoffs. And it was the hockey playoffs.
Oh my
and I'm
gosh.
Like, are you kidding me? We'll start the game once the show's over on the screens. Are you insane?
But with the hockey playoffs, it lasts like 6 months. It's always the hockey playoffs.
Yeah.
But everybody makes the hockey playoffs. Last year, the Texas Rangers made the hockey playoffs.
Do you remember what town you were in, Steve?
I'm going to say Oyster Bay. Yeah, okay. Long Island.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Billy the Kid.
Yes. Yeah. Known as Oyster Bay, Long Island.
I was just wondering who would have been in the playoffs at that time. And,
But it was nightmarish. But so here you are all these years. And so all new material that you're touring with now?
Yes, I'm touring. I do between 75 minutes and 90 minutes of material that isn't on any of my specials or on my albums. So,
do you know, we get the feedback and get it all the time when you come through and people go out to see the show. I mean, they know you're good, and then they see your stand-up and they're reminded of just how good you are.
Oh, wow. That's
and it's
really
it's,
nice
it's an effortless, it's smart stuff. It's very funny, you know.
Oh, that's like nice. Saying,
yeah, so it's good.
You.
We always get a positive
Thank
feedback
you.
On that. Yeah.
Yeah, well, Philadelphia is I was saying earlier, I used to always come the week before Christmas because it was everybody else was more famous than me, so I would get that weekend, and slowly over the years I built an audience, and Philadelphia, outside of Boston and New York, is probably my most ardent fan. So
that's cool.
I'm really grateful.
Nice.
In fact, I attributed part of it to you guys, as well as Todd Glass's
Todd Glass, really? Yeah.
Promotion.
That
yeah.
and all the, yeah. the Spectrum references. Bring him in.
That does it. That does it, absolutely.
Yeah. So thank you for having me on.
And our pleasure.
Of course, no matter how big I get, I have to come back now.
Yeah. That's it. That's part of the pact.
Yes. How big was Last Comic Standing for you in your career?
Oh, it gave me a career. Before that, I couldn't get any road work.
That's really? The first time I saw you. The first time I saw you was on Last Comic Standing. You did 2 years?
Yeah, 2004 and 2005. Maybe it was just all contained in 2004. But, yeah, that changed my life significantly, because I wasn't able to get any road work. I opened for some friends. And you make not enough money to really survive. And then I had sold a couple of pilots, so that's how I was getting by.
Right.
But before that, I couldn't get any road work. So that was really helpful.
John Heffron, and was that the same?
Yeah, he was the winner that year.
Yeah.
But Todd Glass and I became lifelong friends.
So you didn't know him before that? Or
I knew him
knew
a little bit.
Him?
He had done the warm-up for a special I did, and I fell from the day I met him. He was so much fun. His stand-up was funny. And then off stage, we were hanging out, sitting there. My mother had also come out to L.A. to come to the special, and she was talking to the late Patrice O'Neill. I remember this. And because he's from Boston too, and they were going back and forth. And my mother's very charming and talkative. And Todd Glass said to me, he says, "Gulman, is that your mother?" I said, "Yes," and real proud. And he goes, "Tell her to pipe down."
That's great. That's very Todd Glass.
Taste in comedians is like taste in music. I mean, you know, not everybody is for everybody. And, and Todd turned some people off.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Fools.
I know. And part of the reason, and I'm a fan, but if you don't like him, that, you know, that's your, whatever your choice is fine. But I think people don't give Todd enough credit for being as smart as he is.
Oh, he's brilliant.
And his Netflix so special quick. Was great. It's really quick. He's a good writer, and I just I love him for how smart he is.
But you're similar in a way. You're both very self-aware, so very self-deprecating, and that's part of the deal. And that, that's
and we
a
love
charm.
Being silly as well,
right?
Which,
yeah.
which helps. Yeah,
yeah. And so that to me, that's my favorite kind of person. Someone who's self-deprecating, who's got the chops, but never, you know, hey, what if you enjoy it, that's cool. But you've had, I mean, listen, you can't take the stage if you're not at least confident in some level with your capabilities.
Right. But I think self-deprecating is more just honesty.
Yeah.
A lot of cases. Like we're so imperfect.
Yeah.
And most of us are such a mess.
Yeah.
And to ignore that is to invalidate the people in the audience who are also
relying on you to give voice to their deal. Yeah,
and it's such a relief when somebody else makes fun of themselves.
Yeah,
it makes me feel so much better. Like growing up in the 80s, the big thing was to be a man's man.
You
didn't show any kind of weakness and everything like
right.
that. And whenever I heard, this guy's a man's man, he'll be insufferable. Absolutely.
I agree. It wasn't until I learned the art of ripping on yourself a little bit that I was I've become happier.
It's liberating.
It is liberating.
And then other people
flaws.
Feel comfortable pointing out their own flaws.
You're not putting on airs. To me, it's the quickest point of accessibility to someone. Yeah, you know, Letterman for years. Letterman's initial charm was always berating his own show. You know, the great thing with you know, and your show is great. You're hilarious. You're a different approach. The funny thing with Todd is that he has a running commentary on how bad his show is throughout the show.
Yes.
I know.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. It's incredible.
So, how long did it take? Do you think for you to find your voice on stage? Because I do think that your act is very, very unique. And
wow.
Yeah, no, it is.
And so, but
how long do you think it took for you to be comfortable with your approach as the way it is now?
At least 5 or 6 years,
yeah.
I think, till I've... I guess you always want to go into something trying to, like, writing a book or making an album where you'd like to...
Yeah.
Listen to it or read it, and that's the way I went with comedy. And
what was the persona that you... tried and didn't go with? Because I think
I was so influenced by, and not many people know this show, but there was a show called Get a Life in the early 90s with Chris Elliott.
I love that show.
Oh my gosh.
So you had
I connect almost immediately with people who love that show.
I love both versions of it because they had one where he was with his parents, was his dad.
And then one where he lived with Brian Doyle Murray.
And that had, I would argue, one of the funniest episodes of television ever when he brought an E.T.-like character into that.
Spewy
was not was constantly vomiting this goo.
Yes, it was supposed to be like E.T., but he was a miserable, disgusting animal. And Spewy, I don't know if you remember. Do you remember what Spewy stood for?
What?
All right, special person entering world. I don't know, egg yolk. that's what he said.
Do you remember how it ends?
He couldn't.
They eat him.
And he kept regenerating, but he couldn't come up with a perfect name, so he just ended it with egg yolk.
And he would always start punching him. I mean, you have to see this thing.
Oh, he was violent.
He'd just start beating him. If you guys could find this.
Oh, my God.
The video.
Oh,
Spewy.
My God. Oh, this is incredible.
Yeah, Chris Elliott is underrated.
He's such a brilliant physical and... everything.
Okay,
he's just so funny.
We're watching this creature jump up and down on Chris Elliott, and he's vomiting what looks like an ink-type substance all over his face. I remember this show. I didn't watch it regularly, and I certainly don't remember this.
The only episode
I have them all on DVD.
Me too. Yes.
Yeah, they're so goddamn funny.
Yeah.
Okay. The only episode.
If you look at the writers, like Charlie Kaufman was a writer, and Bob Odenkirk.
These are top level. Yes. Yeah.
Wow. All right. So he did build a submarine in his bathroom, right?
Yes. And he got into it with his father. He had waited 30 years for its delivery.
There were people, again, you want to talk about people not getting it, and a lot of people didn't get the man boy that Chris Elliott was playing throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
I got any fan of Letterman knew who he was playing.
Yes.
I love, you know, I love the movie that he did. The
Cabin Boy.
Yes. There's so many great scenes in that.
But I know people go, that goddamn thing stinks. Are you kidding me? It's brilliant. Yeah. So that's a solid influence.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, I was just doing a ripoff of him and mixed with the sort of observational style of Paul Reiser for the first few years.
That's an interesting combination.
Yeah.
So I know everybody has different approaches to how they write their acts and stuff like that. You know, I don't know when any of you guys actually have time to sit down and write. I'm sure maybe you just...
Oh, geez, how do I find time? I work an hour a day.
Where do you jam it in?
I remember hearing this poet laureate saying that the hardest part of being a poet was finding out what to do with the other 23 hours during the day. I feel that way with stand-up. No, I have plenty of time to write, and mostly what I do is I write down a couple of sentences because I don't want to spend pages and pages working on something that doesn't work. And then if something works, then I'll start to really...
Do you subscribe to the notion that writing's rewriting?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And listening to my sets and taking down the new ideas and things. Yeah.
You have an economy of language in your act, which I love. I love.
You
know that... you know, and people that I hold up in the pantheon are people like Norm Macdonald, who...
Oh, my gosh.
Concept, setup, punchline, boom, like on an express train to it.
Yes.
And you're able to just get you there.
Yeah.
And I think like a lot of early comics, and I did it and stuff that I was writing or just... Too much. You're giving because you think that validates the setup.
Right, of course.
And it's you know, when you see somebody like you and like Norm, who can just trim right to the point, it's phenomenal.
Oh, Norm is, he's brilliant.
Yeah. Well,
how long did it take for, because all right, so I just love your bits are kind of like out of nowhere. And so two of the funniest ones that I remember in recent history, and I'm not ruining anything because you have a whole new hour now, but you did a whole bit on state capitals and their abbreviations that I love.
Yes. Right, the abbreviating of the states.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How long did that
take? That's
great. For...
I had the premise for it like 2 years into comedy that most of the states start with the same first two letters, so it must have been very difficult to abbreviate them. Right. But it wasn't until they started making documentaries about silly, small things. Because when I was growing up, either it was about the Civil War or Hitler. There were no other documentaries.
That's category. Pretty much it.
It couldn't be about Helvetica. And then one night I just started talking about this documentary, and I completely made it up about the abbreviating of the states, and I made up characters. But when I think about it, it was just, it was very similar to what Bob Newhart used to do making fun of businesses like the guys who taught Lincoln how to be Abraham Lincoln.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
I'm
a thief is what I'm admitting to.
No,
today.
No, no.
Yeah.
You all get influenced, you know, by things, and that's how you are. I mean, Norm Macdonald was massively influenced by Letterman.
Yes. Because,
you know, so that's all part of the deal. And then you find your own voice.
Right.
So with the new material and as you work on it, are we looking at any sort of Netflix special or?
I'm shooting a special in January but probably the first week of February in New York.
Okay.
And so that's all this material will be on
what venue?
That. What's that?
What venue?
It's called Roulette.
Okay.
Ooh. Yeah, it's right near the Barclay Center in Brooklyn, and it's a beautiful theater. I'm really excited about it.
We've had a few here recently. The Philly's becoming a good location.
Yeah,
I definitely
want to shoot one
eventually.
Since
we're your people.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Rebuild the spectrum for you.
It'd be a wonderful experience.
If you're just tuning in, it's Gary Goldman and Helium Comedy Club this weekend. Show tonight, and is it one tonight?
One tonight.
One tonight, two tomorrow, three on Saturday.
That's a rocking weekend.
I would like to ask you about your love affair with peanut butter.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
Because I'm reading this, and it says that Gary can go through a jar of peanut butter every 2 days.
Yes.
Are you a fan of peanut butter and its various subfoods?
Well, what do you mean?
Like Reese's Pieces.
Oh, yes, of course.
Okay,
there's not a lot you can combine peanut butter with that's not delicious.
Would you say in its straight, pure form, is its best, or is it at its best when it's
right
peanut butter
and
jelly?
Okay. You eat it right out of the jar?
Yeah, I eat it right out of the jar.
Or
with a spoon.
Okay.
And I became a vegan last year, January 1st.
Yeah.
So it's a great source of protein.
Protein.
And it's incredibly filling.
Yeah.
Although sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and I have spoonfuls of peanut butter, and then my girlfriend will see the
spoon.
Yeah, the spoons
with the dried peanut butter on it.
Yeah, the dried peanut butter on it. And she's like, man, you really have to stop this guy.
What's your favorite brand?
My favorite brand, probably Teddy.
Teddy?
Yeah.
Not familiar.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's just a New England thing. But also Trader Joe's makes a great a great smooth. And I don't like crunchy. I
like it smooth too.
I went through a crunchy phase when I was a kid, and I would insist upon it. And I would I'd put it on toast.
Peanut butter is incredible.
You can put peanut butter on toast, and when you put peanut butter on toast and it's hot and it melts a bit, it actually takes on a dessertish.
Oh, very much so. Very much so.
Right? Yes.
So
it's a great dessert nut. Yeah.
We have the.
Oh wow! You guys are so.
We found Teddy peanut butter. It's unsalted, all fashioned, all natural peanut butter.
Yeah. Does it have that like grease at the top?
Yeah. Yes, which I
you
I
need
love.
It. You need it.
You love that.
Yeah.
You need that?
You stir it into it.
I enjoy it. You stir it
it's
into
a
it.
Pain in the ass.
No, I stir it into it. It's fantastic. It's
I think anything that really has grease on the top of it is just awesome.
I don't know how far you're willing to drive to get peanut butter, but there's a place in Cape May, New Jersey called the Cape May Peanut Butter Company that they make
they sent us some.
Yeah. Oh, that stuff's good.
They have
like chocolate peanut butter.
They'll have like hazelnut peanut butter,
coffee. Flavor
cappuccino
where do you stand on Nutella?
Nutella is fantastic on waffles and pancakes. but again, it's really unhealthy to drink to eat straight from the jar.
Nutella?
Yeah.
I do that though.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
That's a dessert. I mean, that's Nutella is incredible.
A lot of people see it as sort of peanut butterish though.
Oh yeah, it's definitely peanut butterish. But it's flavored with hazelnuts, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Nutella.
But it's got them.
Yeah.
Gary.
Or if you want to pronounce it in the Yiddish, Nutella.
Nutella. He's got an issue, a little Nutella.
Come here, Nutella. My little Nutella.
That's great.
It did sound very perverted when you're like, peanut butter. Yeah.
Hi. You're interested in peanut butter? I can hook you up.
How has a vegan life been treating you, and was it a difficult transition? Were you vegetarian before that?
Mostly.
Okay.
But I was still taking in some. It's the only irritating thing is explaining to my mother what things aren't, because she just thinks if things are healthy, then they are.
Okay.
Right. So turkey, for instance, she's always asking me if I can eat turkey. Turkey burger.
Right, yeah. It's a turkey burger.
No, and I'm like, no, nothing that had a face.
Nothing that had a face.
Yeah. So but there's a great one in Philadelphia, Hip City Veg. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Aren't they delicious?
So Hip City Veg,
so
I've said this.
Two out of three meals a day there.
You have other places. This city is excellent.
Oh, good.
So I'm mostly pescatarian now.
Okay.
I love the Mediterranean diet. But Hip City Veg has the best chicken sandwich I've ever had, and there's no chicken in it.
Yeah. It's freaking incredible. Awesome. Yeah. And their shakes are awesome, and they're I go there two or three times. The other spot that has, I don't know that it's vegan, but sometimes in a pinch I'll go to Chipotle.
Oh, okay.
The sofritas or whatever.
Sofritas, yeah. And my only issue with the Chipotle is that the people who work there are so nice, but the people who order. They order in a rather Philistine manner. They always point to the topping they want and say the name of the topping.
Yeah.
Which is staggeringly condescending. Corn. And they're so nice. They just scoop. You don't have to point. They'll know where the corn is. You knew where it was. You don't even work here.
I totally do that. I'm the a-hole.
I'd have an aneurysm if I worked there. And they're so composed.
Yeah.
Is that where the corn is? Brenda, we found the corn.
It's sort of the corn amuses me.
The mild salsa.
Or sometimes they bang their finger on the glass partition, which is now you're creating more work for them.
Yeah.
They got to clean that.
Yeah, they have to clean your fingerprints.
I'm not aware if I do that or not.
I got to make some apologies.
Yeah. I do.
Yeah.
Well,
meaning to be condescending. It's just like.
You do it at the deli counter, too. Some of you'll point to it. But you're right. Yeah. They work there. They know where it is.
Yeah. Yeah, there's only like six elements on their periodic table.
I'm not a vegan, but I do know that when I'm so afraid of people tampering with my food that when I order it, I'm overly nice. So I say,
me too.
I say please yeah. after everything. I'll yes. take you know, take yes. some pico de gallo, please.
Yes,
some cheese, yes. please.
That's good. Yes. That's common civility.
Yes, yeah. yeah, common yeah. civility.
It's more out of fear from him though.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I don't want them spitting on my stuff.
Yeah. Right, but we're just not as nice to our service industry people. And then the other thing is that I always ask for a cup of water because I don't want to.
What?
I grew up poor, so I think I have this thing where I feel it's a waste to pay for soda because it's a big markup soda. Yeah. So I always ask for a cup for water, but I'm always embarrassed.
Where do you – so do what do you go so
– at Chipotle, they have to give you a cup for water, and it's smaller
so
that you know you're a failure. And I always feel like Oliver Twist. I'm like, please, sir, may I have a cup for water? Just a small cup. But don't have to be as big as the cup for the rich folk. I'll fetch it myself. It's just that the spices are so strong, it bends me cake hole, your worship. thank you. A million thanks, Governor. Dreadfully grateful. Bob's your uncle. And then like half the time, I then steal Sprite. While they're not looking.
Oh, you go up to the machine.
Yeah. I betray them almost immediately.
they're good nature. Is,
yes.
You're not Oliver. You're the Artful Dodger.
Yeah. You're Fagin.
Fagin. I don't know if I can say this on the air, but I started this award show for the most anti-Semitic stereotypical portrayals of Jews in television.
Please do tell, because they're legendary.
I don't know if I can say this on TV, but on radio, K-I-K-E-Y-S.
Okay, well, you can't. Okay.
Well, it's
like the
unpleasant.
Emmys, but
yes, yeah.
That's the name of your award. Okay,
yeah, that's the name of the award.
Okay,
and this year we're recognizing John Turturro's lifetime achievement for horrifically stereotypical portrayals of Jews in cinema.
Do you have any standout roles?
Well, Miller's Crossing.
Oh my God!
The Shmata, Bernie. He was
horrific. May I nominate one?
And then in Quiz Show, he yes. played Herb Stemple.
Yeah, Herb Stemple.
Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. He was such a nebbish.
Yep.
Just, yes.
All right, Judd Hirsch in Independence Day.
Yes.
The most annoying guy. Oh, yeah, yeah, from this, you yes. can't. You should yes. connect
oh
to the alien
gosh.
Ship.
Yes.
Well, you don't call?
Yeah, Judd Hirsch won, I think it was 96. He won the award.
The worst.
But this year we're recognizing John Turturro's lifetime contribution.
John Turturro, yeah. You're exactly.
And then one year, Sean Penn won for Carlito's Way.
Oh, with the big hair.
Yes, Israel. Yes. Yeah, oh, my Israel. Gosh.
Oh, my Jufro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Marlon Brando always said they never portray Jews poorly in cinema. And I'm like, that's all they do. And Scorsese is like the worst. Like Goodfellas, there's not a Jew in Goodfellas who isn't a horrific stereotype.
You want a badass though? The Sergio Leone.
Once Upon a Time in
Once
America.
Once Upon a Time in
yes.
America.
Oh my gosh!
And you can't yes. watch the theatrical release. You got to watch the 4-hour
yes,
full
yes,
version
because yes.
the theatrical release is like the Cliff Notes.
Right.
It's just
exactly.
horrible. But you watch
exactly.
The, that is a.
Yes.
Have you guys ever seen it? It is a
no.
Godfather level. History of the Jewish mob.
No.
And it's phenomenal. De Niro, James Woods, the whole.
I like it better than The Godfather because The Godfather, you watch it now and some of the dialogue is so stilted.
I still consider it an American masterpiece.
When the producer says to Robert Duvall, you want to see something beautiful, Tom? You do appreciate beauty, don't you? Who talks like that?
I
appreciate that,
he's beauty. He's a pedophile. He's a child molester. That's how they talk. Wolfsheim, you're talking about, yeah.
Well, maybe in the 1950s.
No, Waltz.
Waltz, yes.
Yeah, Waltz.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It, yeah, but yeah, I agree, though. It's Once Upon a Time in America is the deal. So
yeah.
I forgot about Herbert Stemple. You're right.
Oh my
though.
Gosh!
That's...
Yes, in quiz
yes.
show.
Yeah. Yeah. When's the next awards coming out?
We usually do it during Passover. We do it on the.
who's your strongest contender right now for this year?
I don't know if you watched Cobra Kai.
I saw the first episode. I was a little disappointed.
Watch it through.
Okay.
Give it another chance because I really enjoyed it. But Ed Asner plays Johnny's stepfather.
Okay.
And Sidney Gold, I think, is his name. And oh boy, does he make us look bad.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if other Jews will. grew up paranoid, but we used to play a game in my house called Who Would Hide Us?
Yeah,
and
Who Would Hide Us?
70s. We would go around the neighborhood.
My God.
And we would say, all right, they'd hide us. Oh. The husband would hide us. The wife would turn us in. And then it became Who Would Hide Us long term? Who would tolerate my mother for more than a week?
All right, well,
wow.
Hey,
you had different categories.
Yeah.
Who would hide you?
I can't imagine that anyone would not.
Who brought
hide
up
me?
Once upon a time in America?
Yeah. I think you guys would all hide, man.
I totally hide you.
And subconsciously, I think that is always going on in my mind.
Who would hide us?
Who would protect me?
I think the only reason I would hide you is because I've always wanted a secret room in my house. So it would give me a great reason to put a bookcase with a door behind it.
You know, when you were a kid.
You get private Gary Goldman shows.
Behind the bookcase. Mm-hmm. Behind the bookcase.
Behind the bookcase.
Yes, but the thing with my mom is that she wouldn't be able to not be herself during the hiding. So that if they brought the wrong fat level of milk, she would say something. Were they all out of skim? Just passive aggressive like that.
Do you realize we're risking our lives to hide you?
No, I appreciate you risking our lives. Your lives, but cholesterol is a killer as well. Nazis are dangerous, but cholesterol is a silent killer. Oh,
that's a funny angle, yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant.
That's great stuff.
And is that true? Is it true?
What?
Did you play that game?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Yes. It was.
I think that's
I'm not
good...
the only Jewish family who played that game. That keeps coming up when I tell what's that
really
story.
What's
yeah.
worse in the delineation yeah. for these awards? The people who try overly to make, like for example, Shelley Winters in the Poseidon Adventure. Right. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
You know, like trying so hard to be endearing that it's too much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's much worse when they're just like the Scorsese ones, like Maury. And, the guy who runs the wig shop.
Yes. He's
unattractive on every level, and just a what we call a schnorrer in Yiddish, which is like somebody who's greedy and takes.
Right.
And also he's just beaten unmerciful all the time.
By the way, that guy is the whole story. But I remember clearly the commercials from the guy who was Maury airing in New York. I remember them clearly.
Incredible.
So the same sort of jumping in the pool with the wig on. That was right from the commercial.
No kidding.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Wow, man. I've not heard the Who Would Hide Us game. That's I have to ask my... I've very close to your friends. I'm going to see if they... I would hide them, clearly, because they're friends. But
well, the thing is it was the 70s. There really wasn't that much to fear.
You didn't have social media. Well, and also...
But my parents were older, so they had grown up... being chased out of various countries.
And you can't argue with the lasting impact of an experience like that. It really kind of sticks with you. Yeah.
Yes, there's a difficulty committing to joy when you've been nearly
hunted
extinct
down.
Every 75 years.
All right, well, listen, Gary.
Yes.
It's great to see you,
sir.
Oh,
thank you so much for
We're
having me on,
happy that you're
guys.
Back in town, and you got all these shows for people to come see. So Helium Comedy Club is where you're going to find Gary Goldman. Tonight at 8 o'clock show.
It's part of the Must Be Nice tour.
Must be nice. Really?
Which is how Jews say congratulations. Must be nice. I got room service last night and I could hear my mother, must be nice. Good for you. Gary's getting the room service. Must be nice for you. Everyone else is suffering.
It's brilliant. We have to meet your mom sometime.
Yeah.
Oh, she's a delight. Oh,
I'd love to see, Todd Glass, both mothers.
Oh, gosh.
There's a show.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You've heard the Blake Wexler telephone call?
Yes.
Blake
was an intern here.
He was?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, so Blake and Todd and I all went to the same high school. We went to Conestoga High School, and then Blake moved out to L.A. to do comedy, and Todd took him under his wing.
Yeah.
And so Blake recorded and saved all of these voicemails from Todd. It's
so funny.
They're so good. He made a record of them.
Yeah, I bought the album. It's terrific. Yeah.
That's cool.
I laugh all the time.
So Gary's also got two shows on Friday and then three on Saturday, a 5 o'clock show, a nice late afternoon show.
Yeah, it'll be really fun. I believe those shows.
7 o'clock is already sold out.
7:30 is sold out.
So go to the early one. Have a light nosh.
Yeah. And then you get the whole evening ahead of you. Yeah.
Oh, must be nice.
Boom! HeliumComedy.com to get the tickets. Gary Goldman.
Yay! Thank you, guys.
Thanks for being here. We're going to take a break, and M. Night Shyamalan will be in our studio in just a few minutes. Stay right there. Back in a moment.
This 93.3 WMMR Audio On Demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Do you want the most important purchase of your life to be based on your negotiating skills? Not the case at Steven Singer Jewelers. You are guaranteed to get the perfect price every day. They make the experience of buying an engagement ring easy with no BS. Check him out at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, you know that I go to Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spas. Whether you want a rejuvenating massage or a refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massage or facial start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Thank you very much, Kathy. I was just given a stat that has made me very excited. It is only 99 days until the movie Glass opens.
Aha!
We are less than 100 days away now, which is awesome. And our next guest is here not only to talk about that, because we definitely want to talk about that, but about a really cool event that we've been to in the past, and it is coming up soon, and you can go to it. It will be October 27th. It is the 5th annual Shyamaween Halloween Party. We'd like to welcome Mr. M. Night Shyamalan. Yeah.
What's your theme?
Is that my music?
Yeah, Night Fever.
Night Fever.
Oh.
We got a little Night Fever.
Sorry, a little slow on the uptake.
It's all right, man. We should have started it right at the hook, but you know, I don't expect everybody to know the Bee Gees catalog. Good morning.
Good morning,
Good
guys.
To see you, sir. Thanks for coming back.
I missed you guys.
We miss you.
Yeah.
And unfortunately...
Don't say it.
We're
don't.
Missing the party.
I can't believe it.
We're in London.
I know.
This is
Eagles.
Yeah. Massively painful to me. Yeah. I'm going to show you something here.
Yeah, he's been going on and on.
Oh, my goodness.
I bought that for this year's Shyamaween. I have this leather jacket from the Rocketeer. I bought the whole goddamn thing. And then this, now listen, it's wonderful that we're going to go over and go to London, but I was so looking forward to attending my first Shyamaween and nothing. So the next time
save it,
around.
Yeah, save it for next
yeah.
year.
Maybe yeah, this gonna... special location is in London.
Yes, I seriously doubt that.
They always hide the locations at the last minute, so.
Yeah, we just don't, you know, don't want a lot of.
Understood.
Yeah.
There's kind of
craziness
cool,
outside.
It's a cool aspect to it. You know, yeah. they don't know until last minute. Honestly, it makes the guests kind of feel like, you know, VIP special.
It keeps lesser directors away.
No, it's got that dinner en blanc vibe.
Yes.
Yeah.
But better and dramatically less pompous. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And more shots.
More shots.
Yeah, a lot more shots.
So Kathy was sort of mildly terrified about reliving, apparently last year, she felt it got away from her at certain points.
You mean you felt you regret some of your behavior?
A lot of my behavior.
My memory of you was not the most logical, but really happy. Really
there you
happy,
go.
Really happy. And every time I saw you, I lit up a little bit. And you would try to say something to me, and not entirely cogent.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah, not entirely cogent. You know, seeing you now recovered and
totally
doing the
different.
News is really warms
and,
my heart.
And not logical and happy could be said of Forrest Gump.
Right?
Yes. I said it was okay that we were going to London this year because I needed a buffer year.
Yeah. You were heated. Like, you were passionate. Like
but the end result
everything
is,
you're saying, you were super passionate.
Yeah. Her main embarrassment comes from Sam Jackson was up on stage, and he's doing an auction to get money raised for the foundation, and he was going to cap it at because there weren't any more bids coming, and Kathy felt that she could squeeze some more bucks out of the audience.
Yes.
So she jumped in. The two words were... Hold on!
Yes. Yeah, there was something controversial about that moment, too. I'm trying to recall.
Well, she wasn't on the microphone. He was.
Yeah, maybe that I took the microphone.
And she elbowed him. It was like, working her way through a blocking.
When you clothesline Sam Jackson.
I think I may have taken your microphone.
Oh, yeah, that may have happened. That's no worries.
Well,
that's what we love.
That gives you
stories
an
that you can have for yourself.
Listen, I kind of blame you because you're the one that were feeding everyone the shots, so.
Yes, that's part. It's part of the baptism of the event.
I think he was about ready to quote Ezekiel when you stepped in, and how brilliant would that have been? Oh, my God. All right, so Kathy's not going to be a part of this issue. Unfortunately, we won't be there, but
it'll be a little more calm.
This is a bash. This is a damn good time.
Well, you just seeing the pictures, I mean, I was incredibly excited, so next year will be my first, but the stories are legendary, and as you said, Knight, you can be part of it because...
It's done in grand style, but it's done in grand style. It's the ultimate twofer. You get a wonderful evening for a great cause, and explain to people what it is.
Yeah, well, it benefits our foundation, which the M. Night Shyamalan Foundation, and basically we support leaders from around the world. We basically vet leaders from around the world that are moving their communities out of poverty. And if you want to think of it as kind of like a philanthropic hedge fund of leaders that we have gone around the world and vetted, and your money that comes to us has an incredible return on its investment. And this model that we've started over the years has become insanely effective. So
it's being copied by other people because it's such a logical thing. And what it does is it turns the money over to the people who are on the ground in these areas and know what's needed. A lot of times people who are dispensing the money are in a removed office, maybe halfway around the world, and don't have an idea. You're giving it to the people who are going to be proactive and get the work done. And just, you know, the times we've heard, we were at the Clotta Fund event, and there were, you were talking about some of the people who are out there in the field, and we've met some. What they're managing to achieve is astounding.
It's astounding, really. And you get these incredible returns where they're affecting entire communities, thousands of people each, and then that will ripple and keep on going forever. So we're thrilled with our results of our finding our leaders. In fact, one we just signed up is from Philly, Raymond John, who is with 12 Plus. And what he does is he's in the tougher schools here in Philly. And, you know, if you know the stats on kind of some of the lower income inner city schools, the graduation rates, the rates going to post high school education is very low. And, you know, in this particular school in Kensington, it would be 13% would go on to after high school to go to any kind of education afterwards. And Raymond John runs this program where he works with the schools and works with the students and changes the culture, the mindset of it. And it sounds all very light and, wow, this is all very sweet and nice.
It's not, though.
It's not. This
it's not.
Incredible work they're doing. And that in the first year in the Kensington high school, they went from 13% to 70%.
Whoa.
In 1 year, from just changing mentality and being there for the kids and saying, this is how you apply and tell them who you are and what do you want to be and where do you want to go. No, I don't think you should try that college. I think you should go for this college. And it's a very specific thing where he gets to know the students. And I mean, I was there, and I mean, you should go check it out. It's unreal. You come away from being with these leaders, and you become so inspired. And so Raymond's one in Philly that we have, but we have leaders all around the world.
Yeah. That's a direct passion project of yours, because I remember the book that you wrote focused on that and how education is going to be the key to living a fruitful, productive life. I mean, that's the bottom line to it.
It seems like such a, as you said, it can almost sound like lighter than air. Really? But sometimes it just takes someone to just hold somebody's shoulders and just point them a little bit, and here's where you go. And that's all you need. But, you know, we live in a world where there's just, it's this constant conflagration going on, and it's hard to get a hold on things.
Especially in schools like that where they're, home environments are not the most ideal sometimes, or where their circumstances are very, very difficult, right? Single parent homes or whatever it is, all of those factors are there. And then to come into school and there's that group and they're sitting there and they're like, did you do that application? And come in after class and let's play chess and let's do that application and let's talk about it. You want to be a nurse? Well, this is how you can become a nurse.
Mm-hmm. You know? We talk about this all the time. You'll see sometimes, you know, the news story will be reporting on. You see a picture pop up. You see somebody's mugshot. And you got to imagine that person, 7 years old, you know, maybe on the front lawn playing ball, and then something happened, or a parent died or something, or for whatever. And if you just could have gotten them, if you just could have been there, if somebody could have been there, you could have, you know, redirected a life. Doesn't mean that person still doesn't have recourse, but it's still, you know, you always think of these opportunities and missed opportunities. So,
well, you know, you guys know the stat of, you know, literacy rates, you know, how they achieve in third grade is a direct indicator of, you know, incarceration rates. Like,
yes. Yeah.
That, you know, so it's a belief system that gets indoctrinated. And this is the reverse. You're inculcating a sense of agency into those kids and a sense of fun, and that there is a way, there's more than this. And oftentimes it's just, hey, I don't even know how to apply. I didn't even know this was possible. Wait, they can give you a scholarship. Wait, well, I have to achieve what grade to get the scholarship? You know, just specifics.
But
and someone supporting you.
That takes time and money. I mean, and that takes boots on the ground, for lack of a better term. It's literally time in the school with people and going out and driving from one location to the next. I mean, that's why these people need support, is that they need the help in order to get this message and this work to the people who are in need of it.
Well, 12 plus, definitely. And Raymond, miracle workers. And I actually, because I know this is a field that I'm very interested in, I wouldn't have believed the results that they could get.
That's amazing.
At that stage, yeah. After the system has failed these kids all the way up and down, that you can still turn them around. They're that pliable, that there's that much hope. It's amazing.
And so enter Shamoween.
Yes.
And so the there are all sorts of ways to enjoy and experience. So please explain how people, they want to get involved, how they get involved.
Absolutely. So, you know, all the proceeds go to all our leaders here. And we have a tagline, which is be bad, do good. So you can be like Kathy. And you can have the time of your life.
And have a lifetime of regret while still helping people.
You can do whatever you want to do. Right. You can behave in any way you want to do. And then know you're doing. You wake up in the morning with that hangover. And you know you've changed the world for good. That's amazing.
That's astonishing. When has a hangover ever felt so good, Kathy?
You know, that terrible feeling that something went wrong last night. But.
Yes. You know, it's
Kathy. You helped.
I imagine Kathy the next morning going, I help people.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's how it went.
So. Now, there are all sorts of different, like, there's a VIP package. Okay. Remember, all this money, by the way, that's going in is going to a good cause. So
yeah,
if you
absolutely
want to be generous, that doesn't hurt.
I'm trying to see. I have Danielle here, who runs our foundation. We have a VIP thing where you can come early and you get to hang with just a small group of us before, and we get to... Yes, it's a reception where we can start the shots early.
And you were there.
Absolutely. I'm there. And mm-hmm. So we begin there.
And the private booths are sold out right now.
I think the private booths are already sold out. The great thing about the show, and thanks to you guys, really, every year we sell out and we have to go to a bigger venue, and there's such a huge waiting list that we judge it based on the waiting list, what size venue we need to move to. But what a pleasing feeling for me and Bhavna to have that every year. It's sold out and so many people want to come, and it makes us really happy. And we got, you know, Bob and I really thank you guys for
it's our pleasure. Yeah,
we you're doing great, and it's a good time, and it's a win-win. And we have all the details on PrestonandSteve.com, which you can check out. I didn't make it last year. My wife also had a charity function that night, Mother's Wish. My daughter has Crohn's disease, so I had to go to that, which I gladly do. But I missed it, and I'm seeing pictures right here on my monitor. And I've noticed that every year you do a movie themed costume.
Well, I don't know if it's every year. I guess has it been every year?
Well, the first year was Steel Magnolias.
Steel Magnolias.
That was
you were
cute.
Shirley MacLaine.
Well,
you had
costume.
You were a Road Warrior 1 year. You were Willy Wonka 1 year.
That's true. I guess I am doing it. This wasn't conscious.
Clockwork Orange.
Yes.
A Droog. You were.
There it is, right there.
Yeah.
I mean, but. You're not, and this isn't a knock on, you know, Spirit Halloween. You're not getting these little costumes that'll rip with
this
no
is real
problem.
Deal.
These are real deal awesome costumes.
Yeah. I'm cheating because I have a costume department.
Yeah.
No, you're not cheating.
It's a little cheat.
It's you call a perk.
Yes.
I was going to wear my Handmaid's Tale costume this year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I had it.
Okay. Well, there'll be a show next year
in London. Yeah. What's that?
Yeah, you save it. Save
it. I'll hang on.
We can have a theme. I can be the Rocketeer who comes in and saves your right to have children the way you want to have.
You can fly me off to Canada.
We'll have a bizarre crossover, Handmaid's Tale Rocketeer crossover. It should have happened.
But yeah, if you want to buy tickets, you go to mnsfoundation.org. All the information is there. All the different, you can get general admission or you can get the VIP. Spend time with me and Bhavna beforehand, and I would love to see it.
Celebrities show up, too.
Even during the party. You know, people think that, you know, you come to a party with, you know, the foundation has your name on it. But that's the great thing about this party is you are there. Your wife is there. Your friends are there. Everybody's hanging out.
Yeah, definitely. At some point, we'll be dancing together.
I will definitely
roll up on you.
Not to creep out on your beautiful wife, Bhavna, but did she hang on to that Road Warrior costume? Because that would have multiple uses.
It's there in the attic. Okay. It's there in the attic.
Why don't you put that on there?
Well, let's if we can ask about Glass.
Yeah, absolutely.
99 days away from that. Post-production all done, in the can, ready to go, or do you still have little minor tweaks to do?
Well, I just finished the mix yesterday, the sound mix, so all the music and sound is done, the picture is done, the picture editing is done.
Did you do, did I read 13 passes on?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably more, but okay. You consolidate it. You know, sometimes I look at it real quick and then do another couple changes, and then even in the mix, sometimes I go and make changes, so.
But they always say the movie's actually made in the editing room, you know, or at least a good portion of
the
it.
The rhythm of it, yeah, the understanding of the language of what it is that it wants to be, you learn that.
And that was, what, just a couple weeks ago, right? 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago?
What, finishing?
The 13th.
Yeah, no, this last week. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean,
wow.
I was away, but...
You were in Russia?
I was in Russia and in Korea, actually.
Dear God.
Yeah, the first two of the international trips. I'm going to Spain tonight, so I'm leaving you guys tonight and going to Spain. And
was it Russian Comic-Con, did I read?
Russia Comic-Con, yeah. What's that like? You know, the whole thing was kind of freaky because I wasn't sure what to expect, as you can imagine, going to Russia. And we didn't talk a lot of politics, which was really interesting.
That's weird. Hey, I want to talk about Pikachu.
They were super sweet. The Comic-Con was Comic-Con.
Is there a big fans?
Same thing. There was okay. 5,000 fans there screaming, and I showed a little bit of clip of Glass. That it was a question and answer with the audience, and super, super accommodating. Everybody was so gracious, and it's a beautiful. I went to Moscow, and it was a beautiful city. And I mean, it's strange. You know, we think of them, you know, in these dark terms and all this stuff, but we're so common. Everybody has so much in common that, you know, there's a Preston, there's a Kathy, there's a Steve, there's all these personalities. You recognize it in each other, and it makes
there's Igor and Ivan in the morning.
There's no Casey, but there's everyone else.
No Casey. Yeah.
There's no Casey. I'm the only one.
It's just as unique. I'm fascinated and love the architecture and look of Cold War Soviet Russia, and it's fast. I've always wanted to go to Russia. Have you ever had an urge or an interest to go to Pripyat in that whole Chernobyl area?
I mean, as you say, it sounds really interesting. I was freaked out being there, but again, as I said, they were super, super sweet. Everything, the city's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful that you're like, how do you maintain this?
We have our ways. Well, we can tell you.
Authoritarian.
Funny you should ask, because you're now living here.
Piece of trash.
Fear.
Anywhere.
Fear will keep them in line.
Yes.
I have a question about the Norm Macdonald show, which you did recently. And
did you see it?
I did. It's called Norm Macdonald Has a Show, and I'm not sure if any of his guests are aware that he has a show, because when it comes on, it's the most odd talk show I've ever seen on TV. It's on Netflix.
You walk in from off stage,
and you're already in mid conversation, and there are odd breaks that may or may not be breaks for you as a guest. What was that experience like? Because as a viewer, it's very unlike any other show I've ever seen.
Well, it was a good interview, though. It was a lot of fun. You were great.
It was super strange. Definitely the strangest interview ever. I didn't know what was happening. He's so nice. He was such a sweet guy, but it was rhythmically completely off. You're in the middle of the thing. You don't know what he's doing. He gets up. Someone else, like a crew member, is talking to him as we're talking.
They're putting his watch on. His watch falls off.
And he and his sidekick, they have a weird rhythm, and it's intended to throw you off, and you can't ever finish the story. You can't ever finish what you're saying. You lose your train of thought. Come in with a zinger, like completely out of nowhere. And the whole room is feeling really awkward. The whole time I felt like, I was like, this is a disaster.
No, it plays well.
Absolute disaster. I came out, I told my publicist, wow, that was good working with you.
Well, he goes, during the interview, you say, you know, you appear to be a cinephile. And he goes, no, but I've been accused of that.
but he's
one of my
absolute
favorites.
And he interviews, I think there's only 8 or 10 episodes or something like that, and he has people on that he really admires and that he likes. And so it's an honor, because it's one of Steve's favorite comedians. He's incredibly intelligent. He asks questions that you probably wouldn't get from another talk show host.
Yeah.
So I found it insightful. It just was odd.
Yeah, it's super odd, and all of those things are true. His intellect is really on display, and you can see it in his eyes as he's talking to you. The deep knowledge of things, and he is a cinephile.
He knows everything.
He knows everything about cinema. I really liked him. I really did. You know,
Letterman is.
I thought it was going to be a disaster, though. When I got off, I was like, "This is." going to need.
No, no, because he also in the list he got his interview. He scored an interview, a long interview with Lorne Michaels, which does not happen. And obviously, Lorne, they go back on SNL, but it's cool. If you love Norm, you're going to love the show, and I do. But you did wonderfully well, and also you served the purpose of being the person sitting there going, "What is going on?" And it worked well. So.
Yeah. Whenever I see the ads now for this, they'll be reviewing it, and they'll have my picture with him, and I'm like, "Is this?" I don't even want to read the article because it's either emblematic of what a disaster, or it's so fresh.
Yeah, it's different. Right. Well, you never know. You let the people tell you what they think.
Yeah, it's all good. Wow.
Concerning Glass and the as things are progressing. You know, obviously it's this troika, this amazing thing. And I was thinking back when you first, you know, when we first started interviewing you and getting you on the show and you know, this is off in the distance.
Yeah.
Where you are right now, it's got to be a bit surreal.
It's definitely surreal.
Yeah.
I'm having mixed emotions about it all. Finishing this movie that represents many, many decades, you know, of all the storytelling, all these characters and also, you know, from The Visit to Split to Glass, as I'm doing this new set of movies with, you know, on my own, and each one has different expectations. And this one, I mean, everyone wants to see this movie, so it's a very different kind of feeling.
To have one that was also to come from a place where people were being dismissive with some of your work, and they were it was just ba ba ba. Okay, and now not only. Like rabid to see, you know, this deal.
Yeah.
But I think it sounds like you're approaching it almost as young filmmaker M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah.
And what the hell? This is what I want to see, so I'm going to do it.
Yeah. I want to keep that sense of beginner as much as possible.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's a Zen Buddhist kind of philosophy. Be a beginner, right? And you don't want to ever have a sense of expectations about anything. So it's harder because you're doing something that everybody is anticipating so much. But I'll tell you this, the screenings we've had when we've had, you know, we have sneak screenings that are private. The reactions have been insane. I mean, people talking to the screen and
love it.
Applauding. Ugh. And
how long is it? Please say it's 4 hours.
Yeah, we need as much.
It's just under 2 hours and 9 minutes.
That's good. Cool. I think the average running time these days is, 110 minutes? Something like
that? Gosh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Was running time an important thing for you? Did you want to keep it over or under a certain amount of time?
No, well, you know, there's a lot of characters.
Yeah.
Because it's two movies that you're bringing to a conclusion. So there's a lot of things, a lot of arcs, character arcs. And then in reality... And this is real. James is playing 21 personalities in the movie.
It's amazing.
And so a lot of those characters have to fully arc. So this huge cast. James plays a lot of them, but it's a huge cast.
Now, you, that's interesting because you were a couple of different characters in this universe. The guy who stopped
by... Is
that
right? I didn't think about that.
the guy who stopped... Yeah, gets stopped by security, and then you're the assistant in Split, so...
Gotta come and see what happened.
It's good to see that ne'er-do-well got a job eventually.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, potentially packing heat. No, but that's cool. It's for us, your unabashed love of the genre of comic books and the whole thing, you know. I remember we were talking to you initially and saying, you know, we just I'm Unbreakable was, you know, it's just amazing. And I remember we had heard your reaction was, oh my God, they don't like it or whatever, you know, when you were conflicted, you know, after it was released. Here we are. This is poised to be what could be, you know, already is one of the greatest comic book related stories of all time. I will say it. You don't have to say it.
Think about how prophetic this is, too, because at the time, the comic book genre on film hadn't taken off.
It had not taken off.
And here comes Marvel in all its glory and is teed up this story that was teed up years ago.
And these Marvel movies do succeed on a lot of it, ongoing, even though you have these fantastic characters. I think Marvel has been able to make it work the way they make it work by getting in touch with human sides of these characters. What Marvel and Stan Lee did from the get-go. Do you agree with that?
100%. Yeah. I was actually, you know, part of what I'm doing on the tour is I do events, but I also talk to the teams in each country that are selling the movie. And Disney's releasing the movie internationally, and Disney released Unbreakable.
Yeah.
And the irony when I talk to them is I said, you know, when I was doing this movie for you guys, this isn't obviously the same people, but they didn't want to sell it as a comic book because nobody would come to comic book movies. That was the... That was the conversation.
How hilarious.
Yeah, those are marginalized individuals that go to conventions.
And yeah.
These are not, you can't get enough people to come to the movies on that subject. Wow. So let's not ever tell anybody this is anything to do with comic books. That was how Unbreakable was sold, just as a thriller.
Yeah.
And confuse people.
Because... Would Hollywood exist right now? It's resting on the shoulders of comic books. And so talk
how
about
ironic,
a prophetic take on things.
Yeah. Yeah, we were, you know, it was made in 99, I think released in 2000. So it was at the beginning, before all of this, you know, movement and realizing kind of, you know, the nerds have the keys to the kingdom, actually.
they run
everything.
So you talked about that a little bit in the interview with Norm, about who you were 20 years ago making this, and you as an artist versus you as a father and having kids, and how your perspective changes, and you become a businessman at some point. Can you talk a little bit about that and how the changes in your life have affected how you make these types of movies?
Yeah, well, you know, there's things you know, and then there's the way you behave, right? So we may know smoking's bad for us, and yet, you know, those kind of things, or that don't eat that donut, you know, that kind of thing.
Or don't smoke that donut.
Oh, yeah.
You can smoke it.
And I know that what my value system is with regard to making movies. I believe in the a creative accretion of things. So
yeah.
you don't go for the... Go for it in one move. You slowly accrete an experience over a movie. That goes for how quietly you shoot it. What is the camera that you're using? The performance, the colors, and everything. It's a feeling that grows over you, and that can grow over a career as well. And so I'm aware of that. Yet you want to grab the donut, or you feel like you want. I need confirmation now. I need right now. Whereas when I was, you know, in my 20s, and then, you know, making these movies, if I could go back and say your instinct was correct, don't waver here. The grounded storytelling of these genres, including the comic book genre,
yeah,
will come to play out. It feels good to you because it's feeling, you know, resonant to you.
It's funny because you start, you know, you have that. Okay, that passion, you're younger, but I think also when you see artists revisit that, and I remember going into when I saw Schindler's List, when I saw Spielberg, I said, oh, that's, there had been a run of Spielberg movies that he'd produced or been a part of, and I was like, oh my dear God. And then he got it. He reconnected with it. He found the passion, and I just leveled. And to see that, and to know that you are in a happy place now because you did that as well. I think almost as a part of it that says, all right, you mother effers, I'm going to show you I still have it, you know? and in a way, you can recapture and exceed the adventurousness of your earlier days because you also now have a skill set that's been honed over years, you know?
Yeah, and we did talk about this on the Norm Macdonald Show, this idea of why, let's say, a musician can't write a song now that moves all of us when they were killing it in when they were 22
yes!
or 24 is the balance between craft and instinct. And it's a very difficult one. So as you're early in your career, you're really relying on your instinct, and you're learning craft. And then there's a beautiful balance moment that happens. And then, you know? And then as you keep getting experience, you keep learning craft. And then you use that to protect you.
Right.
And then you're not doing this consciously. You start less instinct, more craft. And that's not good. You know, you always have to make yourself vulnerable again as an artist. And so I've tried with these movies to kind of just start over again, to use new people, do zero, like as low a budgets as I can. So I have to keep thinking of ideas of how to do it, take huge risks in it.
So The Visit had to serve that purpose tenfold, right?
Yeah, definitely. So everybody we used, that was like their first movie. So like you were saying, become a film student. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you're starting to see it like them. You know, hey, we don't have enough money for that. How do we do that? How do we move the camera from there to there? We can't. you know? Don't have enough lights for that, for the outside. So now what? Those kind of things. And so you start, your brain starts working in that other way.
Problem solving.
Do you know what I think is a perfect example of that? I think in the Evil Dead, the original Sam Raimi Evil Dead was basically remade. The Evil Dead 2 was the Evil Dead remade with a lot more budget and a lot more... And the first one's still better because because there were these dumb things that they had to rig up to get it done and to make it more. And it's so that to that, you know, that, that balance is hard to find and what you're
absolutely.
We'll do it in or post or, you know, if you're, there's a certain level that just says, okay, well, a certain creativity. That,
well, we can go into cinema forever, but the idea that movies are almost all the art forms together, dance, painting, and costumes, and everything you can imagine all together. And so you what's most important in art is its constraints. So if you don't have constraints, you're going to have a wonky kind of baseline of how to master the language as you watch it. And you don't know it, but you're going, wow, that was a weird use of that lens. Wow, that shouldn't have been held that long. That performance was too hot as compared to the last 20 minutes. You won't know this. You'll just know it in the back of your head.
Right.
We're going to have to wrap up in a moment, but I'm going to circle back and make sure we get all the info on Shyamalan out to you if you're late to tuning in. But I did, before we do wrap up, I want to touch on a couple of things you have coming up. You have the TV show Servant, which you're the executive producer on, and very little known about this right now.
Yeah, we're shooting in Philly.
Okay. Right. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's where I'm going right now, to go to the sets and check them out. But very exciting because, you know, my dream was to be... you know, to aspire to be kind of the House of Cards, the way House of Cards was for Netflix, and to kind of, you know, establish something for a new way of looking things. And Apple came and said, hey, we're going to start our own streaming thing. Would you guys want to make a show?
Thank you for shooting in Philly. That's awesome.
I said, yeah, but we'll shoot in Philly.
Yeah, can't be away from my favorite morning show.
And then Labor of Love is a film?
No, I'm not going to do that right now.
Oh,
but,
okay.
Yeah, look at you, scrounging the internet.
Looking around.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, we'll look for that another time then. But in the meantime, a big party coming up, and it is October 27th. It is the 5th annual Shyamalan Halloween party, and you can go to this.
Yes.
You just have to be 21 years old and buy a ticket, and that's all. And dress up. You got to wear a costume. You got to get into the spirit.
Oh, yeah. It's super fun. You guys will love it. We dance all night. It's really, really an amazing time. Literally, that's why it's grown so fast, and we keep selling out and having to get bigger and bigger places. And I know... we don't have a ton of tickets left. I mean, so...
buy them. Honestly, please. there's nothing like it. And you know, buy them up now. I mean, as to Kathy's point, it's... You don't greet at the door and then run out. You're hanging out.
Oh, I'm there. I'll close the place with you guys.
Yeah. And some of Philly's best chefs are usually behind the food. There's always performers.
Your daughter.
DJ and everything.
That's true. Yeah. She sang last time with Andre Day.
Yeah,
Andre Day sang. And
it was terrific.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a big party. It's a great time, and we won't be there.
And we won't
Son
be there.
Son of a bitch! I have a Rocketeer outfit
next year.
Well, you guys will be there having blood pudding or whatever it is.
Spotted dick, right?
Yeah. All the spotted dick we can handle. Hey, it's always great to see you, Knight. Thanks for being here. M. Night Shyamalan, guys.
Yay! Thank you, guys.
On the Preston and Steve Show. Yes.
There it is.
The theme song, there it is. All right, we'll take a break, and we'll come back in just a moment. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Restorations. What remains, every corner of your face. Celebrating our area's best talent.
But I don't want to hear that name again.
Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Click Local Shots at WMMR.com to see and hear more. Restorations, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks your world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
All right, we've been talking a lot, man.
Yakking up a blue streak.
Yeah, we got to get right back into it. We do have a commitment for the fine sponsors of the Preston and Steve Show. We have to make sure that we get there. We honor our commitment to them for specific times of the day. Got it? Good. All right, 9:56. Kathy's not in here, so why don't we do the bizarre?
She's making out with the Night
Shyamalan.
Yeah.
Let's get to it. Here we go.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Robbins Diamonds in tax-free Delaware with thousands of rings and self-serve cases and absolutely no sales tax versus the 8% tax in Philly. Robbins, Delaware, a diamond.
An 8-year-old girl has discovered a pre-Viking era sword in a Swedish lake, prompting locals to name her the Queen of Sweden. Swedish-American Saga Vanacek found an ancient artifact while playing in Vidostern Lake during the summer near her family's holiday home in the south of the country.
Vidostern is my favorite Swedish lake.
Experts at a local museum estimate the sword to be about 1,500 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. She said, I was outside in the water throwing sticks and stones and stuff to see how far they could skip. And then I found some kind of stick.
Impressive. It was signed by Randy Jackson.
She said, I picked it up and was going to drop it back in the water, but it had a handle. And I saw that it was a little bit pointy and the end was all rusty. And I went up, held it up in the air and I said, Daddy, I found a sword.
Shut up!
When he saw it, that it bent and was rusty, he came running up and took it. And the report added the locals joked that the discovery made his daughter the new Queen of Sweden, drawing parallels with the legend of King Arthur, who was bequeathed the rule to right, took the right to rule after he received the sword from the Lady of the Lake.
My daughter's the Queen of Sweden.
Mikael Nordstrom.
Yeah, we know.
An expert had described the discovery of the relic as spectacular, saying that it was about 85 centimeters long. And that is preserved wood and metal around it. They said it's actually an extraordinary find.
It's amazing.
And this girl just stumbled across it. That's pretty cool. Elderly people get a little confused sometimes. Dolores and Tony Amaral, a couple in their 80s, got into their car last week with the intention of driving 40 minutes away from their home in Sevierville, Tennessee. Instead, they were found 5 days later in Atlanta.
Wow. We're lost.
Oh, my God.
He didn't want to stop for directions, did he?
I guess not.
Oh, man.
I don't know how to use the GPS.
250 miles away from their home.
This doesn't look like home.
They had intended to drive to a nearby hospital, but instead they got lost and continued driving. They were found safe in Atlanta by police. The couple's daughter said neither of her parents had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's or dementia.
They're just stupid.
No.
Nah, it's not dementia, Alzheimer's. We're idiots.
She said, but that they now likely have to hand over their car keys.
I think so. Wow. Unless they're fans of visiting Atlanta now and then.
Maybe so. They may have made some
Who wants to go to Atlanta?
Live loving relationships there. If you live in West Virginia, you may want to be weary, of those who go near your mailbox. A woman living in the Charleston area says she came home last week and checked her mail, but all she pulled out was a laminated photo of a llama wearing sunglasses.
That was it?
She reviewed security camera footage and says she saw someone in a black pickup truck remove the mail from her mailbox and replace it with the picture of the llama in sunglasses.
Did you get it?
Police are investigating.
Who is this?
And they
like llamas.
And they add that the mail theft is a federal crime, by the way.
So I like you.
They're in a lot of trouble. One last story?
Yeah, short one.
All right, it's a short one.
Damn it.
Katmai National Park and Preserve in Alaska is asking Facebook fans to use their likes to vote for which bear is the biggest during their Fat Bear Week event. Did you see this?
They announced the winner.
Yeah. Oh, they did?
Yes,
already?
They did, yeah.
Okay, yeah. They say that bears...
Who won?
I voted.
The bears have been putting on weight to prepare for their upcoming hibernation. They had the bear deemed chubbiest will be crowned the 2018...
I believe that U.S. people with maps have not as many maps. And so I believe that that is why U.S. people have maps. Did I win?
Yeah.
It's a pageant.
They will be crowned the 2018 Fat Bear Champion. So
wow.
You know who the bear is?
Yes, here's his name, 409 Bead Nose. His number is 409, and it was a lot of fun. They posted a lot of stuff on their social media accounts. It's Katmai National Park in Alaska, and Fat Bear Week was my favorite hashtag for a while. It was terrific.
He's a fat one. He's definitely a big bear.
And they show before and after, too. They'll show the bears in the spring and then in the fall.
Right kidding.
So is he a grizzly, a Kodiak?
All grizzlies, yeah, Kodiaks. And they're very impressive species. But you go to this national park to see bears. They're all over the place.
All right, and there you go. That's what we have in Bizarre File. Sorry to keep it short. Do we need to do traffic or?
Can we push that back a little bit?
Sure.
All right. Yeah, we got to take a break.
Coming soon. Right, traffic.
I need you to get rid of
it. I'm getting rid of it.
I got it. All right.
We'll take a break and we'll come back in a moment. Stay with us.
The MMR mobile app
Use it to grab the MMR live stream and MMR audio on demand, including the Preston and Steve podcast. Bring up the live studio webcam, too. The MMR app is Android Auto and Apple CarPlay compatible, and it's free.
The Phillies tweeted out at us, when was this, yesterday?
I'm not sure.
What do we do?
They have showcased the underwear that we rave about.
Ah.
And they wrote, "Hey, Preston and Steve, these are the Stance hashtag Phillies boxer briefs that you were asking about. We guarantee no fly balls as the 5-inch inseam in construction will keep you locked in and everything on base."
I don't know. When I was wearing them, my balls were pretty fly.
Antimicrobial and silky smooth, a fine way to represent the P. Hashtag go Phils.
They're right, though.
They're great. I mean, that's the pair.
That's it.
They have the picture of them right there, and I'm telling you. They're probably my favorite pair of underwear in my underwear bin.
You're gonna wear them under your pants, but you're gonna want to wear them outside.
Well, they look really cool too, but they feel so good,
so nice, so good. Microbial.
I kind of want to wear a pair.
You should.
Let's talk about how comfortable they
are.
Try
them out. You ever worn men's underwear?
No, I've never worn men's underwear.
For a while, I mean, like, do you remember, like, in what was the movie? Charlie's Angels.
Yes. Cameron Diaz.
Cameron Diaz ran underoos.
Yes, that's right. You
know, I mean, they're kids' underwear. She had such a tiny butt and everything that she could fit into kids' guys' underwear, though.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if you tried it. Yeah, Kathy, Camp Out for Hunger. We'll get you a pair. Because we'll be right there the stadium.
Okay. Yeah, you'll love it.
And we'll do that. Hey, real quick, a reminder, we're headed to London in a couple of weeks. In fact, 2 weeks from tomorrow, we'll be broadcasting live.
Dear mother of God.
And I just want to put this out there. If you know anyone that we may not be thinking of to get in touch with while we're there, maybe for an interesting interview, feel free to let us know.
Not your average listener. London edition is certainly viable.
Oh,
let us know what you got going on.
But if you do have connections with any type of, you know, celebrity in the music, film, whatever.
The Queen.
Sports industry, the Queen.
The Queen's my sister.
Let us know, because we're looking into to stuff. We're putting things together for the show right now.
Yeah, we've been working on some things, and I was talking
with Smoking funny things.
But I was talking with Sarah here, Jackson's producer, Sarah, who's also our music director, and I was chatting with her about some potential, because there are a lot of MMR artists that live in London.
It's true.
That are currently not on tour or anything like that, that we may be able to tap into. Some potentially exciting things on the horizon.
Led Zeppelin reunion?
Led Zeppelin reunion is, nice. I didn't want to say it on
the air.
Some cool things. Nick made me aware that the place that we're probably going to be broadcasting on Friday is, they actually host a comedy night that evening. So I think we may have one of those comedians on the show.
What are you, Isle of Todd Glass is the performance?
Oh, that'd be great.
What is he doing in London? We came over here to see English people.
That's my Todd Glass yelling off the microphone
impression.
But seriously,
my mother really loves spotted dicks. So
right,
No, but what's funny is that the gentleman's name that I was looking to get on, his name is Andrew Bird. So I wanted to do a little bit of research on this guy, Andrew Bird.
Okay.
I pull up some Twitter, and there's Andrew Bird with a little blue check mark next to him. So I click on him, and I discover he's actually a musician as well. So I'm starting to listen to his music. I'm like, I like this guy. Yes, let's get this Andrew Bird guy on our show. As it turns out, that's not the Andrew
Wrong
Bird.
Wrong Andrew Bird.
He passed away years ago.
All right.
Why did you call?
Anyhow, we're going to be heading there. We'll be there broadcasting live in 2 weeks. So if you know anything that should be interesting for us, let us know. I mean, we don't need sights to see tips or anything like that.
No, we have some of that covered as far as tourism things and things.
Because
our first broadcast day is going to be, we're going to be along historical, very historical sites. And I know we're dipping into that. I'd be interested in finding out about, MI6 and Bond-related things. And, though Ian Fleming lived most of his life in Jamaica, I mean, it's cool stuff.
You know what that we may not consider what they might do in England is
fall activities.
Oh. They might have some fall activities.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's fall activities. here's one of the devils you shall undertake. During autumn.
Not fall activities, but just as good.
Shopping.
I will be going on a shopping tour.
Really?
You're
going to Harrods.
You have to see some of the Yeah, some of the, the shopping places.
By
yeah.
the way, you, Claire and I went there to the famous department store. And up to the second floor, I believe, they have what they call hot chocolate. What is yeah. actually molten dark chocolate wonderfulness.
Really?
Like,
so it's not just chocolate powder?
It is in no way a drink. Okay. But it is incredibly rich chocolate. But if you see it, it's not like, hey, I'm walking around with a mug of this. Yeah. No. It's a dessert.
Well, there's a number of, there are a number of places there. And I've been in London before, and I visited a few of them. So I'm going to try to hit up the other ones that I didn't make it to the first time.
Well, I'm interested to talk to you, Kath, because I actually thought about maybe before the show on Friday, because we land, and I don't know how much time I'm going to have, but I was thinking about maybe visiting a haberdasher or something along those lines, because I didn't want to look like a stereotypical American. I wanted to see if I could dress.
You have a large bowler and a monocle. And a...
That's not cool. I don't think you would have had it.
I'd come looking like Sherlock.
And go to the Eagles game?
Yeah.
Go to the Eagles game dressed like that.
Yes, yeah. I have my super large magnifying glass to see what this is.
I can't believe I haven't brought this up yet. But
fish and chips, don't you know?
My cousin is making her own fascinator for the Eagles game, Kathy.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
For her.
I wasn't sure
if
that
was
something.
I don't know what that is.
You know, the crazy hats that all the ladies wear at the royal...
It's called a fascinator?
At the royal weddings, yeah.
Didn't know that.
Well,
okay.
Well, yeah, okay.
What?
No. Isn't the fascinator like the one that sits on the head, like as opposed to the hat?
I don't know.
Okay.
She's making one.
I'm wearing mesh shorts for the third day in a row.
So you're going to do a shopping tour. All right, when you went there last, did you go to Camden Market? It's kind of like the real alt shopping area.
Welcome to Target Piccadilly Circus.
No, I did not go there.
It looks cool. That's where I'm going to go.
Okay. Yeah,
the irony of London is that both Camden and Kensington are very nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. And anyway, so let us know if there's something that somebody we should get in touch with while we're there. Feel free to get in touch.
We just don't want a replay of years ago. We went to, we broadcast from the Sky Lounge at,
the Gravity Bar.
Gravity Bar, that's right. Yeah. At Guinness,
mm-hmm.
in the heart of Ireland.
Yeah, right in the middle of Dublin, biggest city in the country.
Not one Irish person
Not
in the place.
One single Irish person.
A bartender was from Madrid.
Even working there.
Yeah.
However, that place is pretty darn cool.
Oh, it's really cool. It's great.
However, if you're over there for a taste of Ireland, where are you from? Barcelona.
It didn't even dawn on us that everyone there would be tourists.
Yes.
Not locals. So.
Yeah, but we want real local flavor as opposed to...
So.
People like, not mind you, we're going to have a number of Philadelphians there as well.
Yeah.
So many people are heading over.
Yeah, we're going to have a damn good time. All right, we need to do today's lesson question. And we are going to give away a 4-pack of Franklin Institute tickets because they have Vikings Beyond the Legend now open. Question I have for you this morning, who's our new favorite raccoon? We just met him today, 215-263-WMMR. What is the name of our favorite raccoon, our new raccoon name? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. We're going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it's brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Fuel up this fall at Dunkin' with $2 any size iced coffees from 2 to 6 p.m. Try any of Dunkin's delicious flavors like maple pecan or pumpkin. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. What's going on this morning, Kathy? Steve.
I was like, oh my God, what am I supposed to do?
What am I doing? I have to do trash now? I can't do that.
Isn't that funny?
I'm thrown off because we did traffic in this break, and I'm not used to it. Now, Steve, what's going on?
I'll take this one.
All right.
Farrah Abraham revealing in a recent interview that she despises her Teen Mom OG replacement, Bristol Palin. Abraham says it's not a case of her being a tight ass, mainly because the muscles that control her ass were long ago rendered useless by relentless butt porn.
Oh. Whoa. Oh.
Meghan Markle's estranged half-sister Samantha Markle says that despite showing up unannounced to Kensington Palace in a failed attempt to meet with Meghan, she felt her trip to London was a success. Samantha says regardless of everything, she did get to meet a cousin of the guy who played Mr. Belvedere.
Oh, my God.
That's pretty cool. And finally, Lenny Dykstra has been indicted by a grand jury in Union City, New Jersey for possession of cocaine, possession of meth, and making terroristic threats after an altercation with an Uber driver last May. Dykstra vehemently denies the allegations and says that when the facts come out, he'll be curious to see what happened.
Yeah.
That's your Hollywood track.
All righty, we shall see if somebody knows the answer to this question. What is our favorite new raccoon name? And I will go to Christine. Hi, Christine.
Hi, how are you?
We're great. Christine, who's our favorite new raccoon, please?
Snickers.
Snickers. You got it, Christine. Hang on a second. We are going to give you a four-pack of Franklin Institute tickets, journey back to Scandinavia in the Viking Age. Vikings Beyond the Legend is now open at the Franklin Institute. For tickets, you can visit fi.edu.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, this morning music news brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Fuel up this fall at Dunkin' with $2 any size iced coffees from 2 to 6 p.m. You can try any of Dunkin's delicious flavors like maple pecan or pumpkin. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Don't have a whole hell of a lot for you in music news this morning, but I do have one or two stories that I'll pass along. Hailstorm has unveiled a spooky video for the sexually charged single called Do Not Disturb.
Ooh.
The clip starts out with a young couple who get caught in a storm and find their way to a creepy old inn where Hailstorm singer Lizzie Hale acts as hostess. She kind of looks vampish. She also attempts to seduce the couple while the rest of the staff, played by the other band members, work on ways to kill them. Hale told Revolver about the song's sex-drenched lyrics. She said, "It's based on a true story. I had a lot of fun with a man and a woman a few years ago on this amazing tour overseas. It was one of these situations where I was going to another country the next day, and I was never going to see this woman again, so it was just this freeing moment. Anything goes." Wow. The first lyric of the song is, "I think we should make out."
Wow.
And she said, "That comes from my icebreaker that she used in this real-life situation." So that's pretty awesome.
She looks good in the video.
Yeah, she looks really cool. And the lyrics are, it's literally about, hey, I'm leaving in a few hours, so why don't we just
do it?
Let's dead.
And dead?
I ain't dead hard.
Dead on my face. Dead.
We had eye contact when you said that.
Dead.
Yep. Dead on my face.
Scary. Dead in a scary way on my face.
She added that she grew up listening to a lot of rock music that was about sex, explaining, "I am also proud to come from a position of power when it comes to sex because that is a part of my life and a part of many women's lives. I mean, we think about it just as much, if not more, as guys do."
This is my fight song.
Do Not Disturb is taken from Hailstorm's fourth studio LP, Vicious, which came out in July.
I love all this Halloween stuff. I even love the lottery ticket haunted house. You've seen that commercial airs all the time.
Oh, is it scary?
It's good. No, not in the slightest. But they go into the haunted house, and the Wolfman tells them how they can win. It's brilliant.
Nice. All right, and then just one other story, and this has to do with Fleetwood Mac. Lindsey Buckingham has finally revealed the backstory that resulted in him being fired from the band. Both Buckingham and Fleetwood Mac are currently on tours, respectively.
He's pissed off.
Yeah, Lindsey said, he said he got kicked out. He had just released the triple disc compilation solo anthology, The Best of Lindsey Buckingham, and he shed light on how he was canned by the band. He explained to Rolling Stone that following Fleetwood Mac's Music Cares tribute earlier this year, he received a call from Mac manager and music industry tycoon Irving Azoff, who told him, Stevie never wants to be on stage with you again.
What?
And Buckingham said that he was taken by surprise, and he explained that things ran smoothly between the band members prior to the annual event, which salutes musicians' charitable works. He said, "We rehearsed for 2 days, and everything was great, and we were getting along great." According to the report, on the phone, he said Azoff had a list of things that, as Buckingham puts it, Stevie took issue with that evening, including the guitarist's outburst just before the band's set over the intro music, the studio recording of Stevie's Rhiannon, and the way he apparently had smirked during Nick's thank you speech. So he concedes the first point. He said it wasn't about it being Rhiannon. He said it's just undetermined
Oh, I'm sorry. He said it just undermined the impact of our entrance. That's me being very specific about the right and wrong way to do something.
I have a feeling here in this deal, and having heard stories about Lindsey Buckingham over the years and being a little bit difficult,
yeah,
that's probably the case.
Probably.
And
yeah.
They just got sick of it.
So he didn't like that song
right.
As part of their intro, and they didn't like the fact that he didn't like that song, or Stevie didn't.
Steve, I know you love the dance as much as I do.
Love it.
They put it out in 96 or 97. Yeah. It was a live recording. And there's a part where Lindsay's telling a story, and Christy McVie speaks up in the background.
Yeah, yeah.
And doesn't interrupt him, but just brings up a point.
Yeah.
And he kind of like snidely shuts her down in the middle of it.
Really? And I think I think you're right. I think that's indicative of sort of the way he is. I think Lindsey Buckingham is Lindsey Buckingham's biggest fan.
Yeah, and it sort of sounds like...
And he's talented. He's great. There's no two ways about it.
No, I'm a huge fan, and I love him in that band, too. He's such an amazing guitar player. But in that moment, it sounds like, Christy, I have the microphone. Yeah. You're not allowed to talk right now.
Hey, you can shut up! Seriously, bitch!
Different
day. It is actually very well on the test. Shut up! Oh, God damn it! Do you ever shut up, you banshee?
I think it's just I made a point. I had issues.
Oh, God! Seriously! Mick Keller! Stab him with a drumstick! Whore!
I don't want to hurt her.
I like her, I don't like you.
Yes.
Wait, is she in the band right now? Or is she out again?
Christy McVie is, yes.
Yes.
I believe so. They got back together.
She was replaced by Lindsey Buckingham.
Well, for a while, she would show up and do a show or two here and there, but wasn't doing the full tour.
And
but I think
Sheryl
she's
Crow
back
was
on.
Doing it for a stretch. She filled in the Christy McVie role.
Yeah. As for smirking... he said, the irony is that we have this standing joke that Stevie, when she talks, goes on a long time. I may or may not have smirked. But I looked over, and Christine and Mick were doing the waltz behind her as a joke, you know, that she was dragging too long. So he said that kind of, you know, set her off. So maybe him screaming for her to shut up didn't help at all.
Rotten hell.
No, but after the phone call, Buckingham with Irving Azoff... who had presumed that it was Nix that was quitting the band.
Yeah.
So the way that the phone call sounded, he wasn't sure if he was out of the band or not, because all he said was, she doesn't want to be on stage with you ever again. He sent an email to Mick Fleetwood outlining how the band could proceed with... I'm sorry. Let me start again.
What is this? The hell happened?
After the phone call, Buckingham... who had presumed that it was Nix that was quitting the band, sent an email to Mick Fleetwood outlining how the band could proceed without her and got no reply. He called Irving and said, this feels funny. Is Stevie leaving the band or am I getting kicked out? And Azoff told the guitarist that he was getting ousted and that Nix gave the rest of the band an ultimatum, either you go or she's going to go.
Wow. And so, honestly, they
can't do it
without
Stevie.
Stevie Nix.
Yeah, she's integral to too many of their big hits.
And Lindsey Buckingham is, it's just sad because that's, I can see him though being a little cantankerous and hard to work with. And that's been the longstanding story on him.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame though, but from what they have a couple of the old Heartbreakers replacing him, right?
I don't remember.
Yeah. From Tom Petty's band.
Mike Campbell.
Yeah.
I think the lead guitarist right now.
So he went on to say, am I heartbroken about not doing another tour with Fleetwood Mac? No, because I can see that there are many other areas to look into. The one thing that does bother me and breaks my heart is we spent 43 years always finding a way to rise above our personal differences and our difficulties to pursue and articulate a higher truth. This is our legacy. This is what the songs are about. This is not the way you end something like this. And I'll guarantee you, that's it.
Yeah.
They're of an age now where it's like, you know what?
I don't need this crap.
We're done. Regarding a reunion with those former bandmates, Buckingham said, it's not my place or intent to open that door. I've done my best to reach out to them. I've not technically closed the book around anything, nor would I, but I am not planning that anything will change from what it is now. So that's probably it for that.
Sounds very promising.
All right, and that's it. That's all I have in music news for you this morning. Boy,
this song
great band, though, man.
Is used so perfectly in Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Which part is that? I don't remember.
This is towards the end with Star-Lord and his father. And
yeah, they're in the middle of the battle.
They're in the middle of the battle. You think, like, Star-Lord's about to die. I can't tell you if he dies or not because I don't want to spoil it.
Mm-hmm.
But take a guess.
But take a guess.
It rallies the troops. They all come together as a team with this song and playing in the background.
Because if you don't love me now,
you should be in the band.
Everybody, this is Casey.
That's what I had in music news for you this morning. All right, let's take a break. I should give something away. I should have been giving things away all morning.
What about some brewskis?
I'm going to give away. They're grody to the max.
Grody to the max.
To quote Steve earlier this morning, if we're going to go to brewskis.
I want to make bank, bro.
You know what we used to call them? We used to call them yees.
I thought you called them, you didn't call them Beezers.
We call them Bezos.
Bezos.
Bezos are the
Bezos are the clump of matter that forms in a stomach.
Yeah, from hairs or something like that. Yeah. No, we used to call them yees, which is short for yeebahs. Yeebahs, Bezos, bruise,
briskets.
Bro! I have... No, this isn't...
Dude!
That's not beer.
That's not beer.
No, that's the first purge.
That's the first purge.
Where's the beer?
Where's the beer?
Hey, crack open a case of the first purge. I'll take caller 18.
There I can go for a nice cold the purge.
I will give you a case of Yard's Rival IPA.
Ooh, now you're talking.
Caller 18, 215-263-WMMR. There's no bigger rivalry in football than between Philly and our northern neighbors in New York. So be sure to have plenty of Yard's Rival IPA on hand for Thursday night, tonight's game. You can pick it up at the Fainting Goat Bar and Restaurant in Glenold. And 215-263-WMMR is the number. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a second. Letter of the Day for the Word of the Week prize, Pierre Robert, and more when we return.
Preston and Steve
on 93.3 WMMR.
93.3 WMMR, Everything That Rocks. What a beautiful song. That's a beautiful song, and I'm going to send it out to a beautiful couple. Celebrating their 15th wedding anniversary today, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. and Mrs. Casey and Diane Foster. Happy anniversary. You thought we were going to forget, didn't you?
No, I didn't. I thought you were going to wish me a happy anniversary. It's the 12th anniversary of when we had Trey Anastasio in studio.
That happened on your wedding anniversary?
Apparently it did. I looked over and I saw a text that had come over. I was like, wow, that was... I mean, my wife shares a birthday with Trey Anastasio, and then he comes in on my third wedding anniversary.
There's all sorts of symmetry.
Yeah.
Look at this.
If you guys recall, Preston was the one who did the announcements for the wedding. He brought the whole wedding party in.
I do remember. I remember that. It was a lovely wedding.
Yeah. It was a good time. It was an overcast
day. Was had by all.
A good time. Yes, was had by all.
You guys, and I believe the song was We Go Together from Greece, right?
And you
came out and did the hand drive and everything?
Yeah, so we came out. Everybody was coming out to a, believe it or not, I played a Fish song. Fish does a really, really cool, funky version of 2001.
Yeah,
and that's
right.
What brought everybody out. And then when you announced us as the, for the first time ever, then we came out. We go together like blah, blah, blah. And we did the little shotgun thing. And then what did we do? We did Duke's Hazzard and then the Golden Girls theme.
And the Golden Girls.
Yeah.
There you go.
I wouldn't have doubted that.
Yeah.
Did Alf have a theme song?
Yes, but no words. It just went da-na-na-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Okay, so probably wouldn't have been as good.
No.
Well, cool. Happy anniversary, man.
Thank you.
I hope you guys have a lovely day today. And it has been a lovely day all day long here on the President Steve Show. Thank you to our guests. Thank you to Gary Goldman.
Yay!
Gary hasn't been in town in a little while. He admitted that, and he said that he has a huge, wonderful group of people that love him here, and he's excited so much so that they're going to do 3 shows on Saturday.
That's excellent.
There's 1 tonight, 2 tomorrow, and then 3 on Saturday. And one of those Saturday shows is sold out, I believe, the 7:30 show. So if you're interested, you'll want to check out heliumcomedy.com, get some tickets, go see Gary. He's a good guy. He's just a nice guy.
He is.
He's very, very, very funny. And speaking of a good guy, our good friend, Mr. M. Night Shyamalan, was here this morning to talk about Shyamaween 2018. It's October 27th. It's in a secret location.
Yeah.
And it is a cool party. If you think you've been to a cool Halloween, costume party, go to this one and try it out because there's performers and music and great food, really cool costumes. A lot of celebrities end up coming by that you didn't realize would be there. And it's a great cause for the M. Night Shyamalan Foundation, which is, targets very specific people. They go through and there's, as he said, a vetting process of who they're going to send the money to. And they specifically pick individuals who are doing great things.
Yeah, they're not just throwing it at a charity and running away. They're remaining proactive. I love the whole idea. And it there you can't argue with the results.
Yep. And so you can get tickets and information. All the available info is right there at PrestonandSteve.com. And it'll take you directly to the link to get the tickets. And there's VIP packages. You can get a private booth and you can hang out with them, the Shyamalans, before the actual party starts and everything. There's a lot of different options. So it's a cool event. And it's one that we're unfortunately going to miss this year because we're going to be in London. Steve's going to hang on to it. It's a timeless costume, Steve.
It is.
Your Rocketeer costume will still be good next year.
You need to understand, though. I even found the leather jacket.
Damn it. All right. Well, anyhow, thanks to M. Night Shyamalan for coming by. Pierre Robert is here. How you doing, sir?
I remember The Rocketeer. It was a fun one-off kind of movie.
It was great. Actually, the guy who directed that movie went on to direct Captain America, the First Avenger.
Oh, really?
And same sort of period piece sort of thing. It's just nostalgia. It's wonderful. And we actually had Billy Campbell, who played The Rocketeer, come by, and he autographed my Blu-ray.
Really?
That's awesome.
These are the moments I remember.
Yeah. That is cool. The moments we remember. And we'll have more of them on this very program today. So but first, let's do that letter.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter...
O as in opportunity.
All right. We are going to have your opportunity to get 4 tickets to see Kid Rock at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City October 19th. Plus, 4 food vouchers and 2 rooms for the night. And Kid Rock's going to be at the Hard Rock at October 19th and 20th. And you can book your stay. And don't miss out on Kid Rock's epic heart-pounding show. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. By the way, I'm sure you got a few things planned for today, man. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, it will be epic and heart-pounding. I will have a couple of cool things, like at 11 a.m., more birthday bucks. And at 1 p.m., I will have more birthday bucks, another opportunity, 2 more on this program to win $1,000.
My heart's already pounding.
It's epic.
Yeah.
And also, it's sick. And a couple pair of passes for Pierre Presents. The Rival Sons coming up in a few weeks at the Ardmore Music Hall. I also have the March to Metallica tickets. Every day as we get close to Metallica for the 50 days leading up, one show a day has some goodies.
Yeah.
You guys have had it. We've all had it.
Yep.
And so mine today is Death Magnetic and Hardwired, those CDs, and a pair of tickets to the show, which is cool. We'll have a block of the Goo Goo Dolls today because they're at the Fillmore tomorrow. We'll have a block of Sammy Hagar today. His birthday is Saturday. And so we'll celebrate today, the day after we celebrated David Lee Roth. So another taste of Van Halen. And we'll get into a workforce block of Tool. Perfect for this weather today.
Cool. Case?
I wanted to thank Doug Benson for having me out to his podcast last night. Doug loves movies. So we never revealed on the show yesterday which show member was going to be on last night. And so I was there. Had a lot of fun with him and Trey and Tom.
Was it packed?
It was packed. And I'll tell you what. The Preston and Steve show was represented very, very well in last night's podcast. In fact, I said, hey, I just want to see, you know, how many, you know, Preston Steve show fans are out there. And I got a call and response. And Doug's like, oh, man, that's never a good idea. But I did it anyway. And I did the Hey Bitches thing.
Yeah.
And the place erupted.
That's great.
So that was really, really great.
That is taking a chance.
It is. And I didn't realize it until I had done it. I was like, oh, man, I hope this goes well.
Hey, Preston Steve fans out there.
Yeah.
Woo, Casey. Woo.
Hey. I like those guys.
Yeah. Where's Preston? You spent ever. But I ended up playing for a gentleman named Andrew. And so they all make name tags.
Yes.
Elaborate name tags. And Preston and Steve, your faces were on his name tags. So I'm like,
no way.
And there were Kit Kats taped to it as well.
Love it.
So it was like
Kit Kats.
I ate them. they weren't for you. So I ended up picking Andrew to be my teammate for the thing. And so I can't reveal who won last night. You're going to have to download the podcast today at noon.
I made the mistake of tweeting the day after. Hey, I won the Leonard Maltin game last night. And people got back like, you douchebag.
Yeah.
You got to wait till the podcast comes out.
Yeah, so I will not reveal who won.
All right.
Cool. Kathy has her hand raised.
Yeah, I just wanted to remind you that there's a sneak peek of the calendar shoot on our website, PrestonandSteve.com, and I wanted to thank Panera Bread for supplying breakfast to the crew all three mornings, and Guppies for supplying lunch and the bachelor party that was in the apartment we shot.
Pierre, it's for the past 3 days, it's been underway at a secret location known only to Kathy, the calendar girls, the production team, and
the bachelor party.
And the bachelor.
and seeing we were able to meet the ladies who are all phenomenal, and it's going along. It looks, what we're seeing looks phenomenal. We learned a while ago it's best to get out of their way and just let them do what they do.
Yep.
Cool. Do we have a party date or a release?
Oh, we're going to announce that.
Yeah, we're not. We'll wait till everything is covered, and then we'll release that date coming up.
So it is written, and so it shall be done.
Marissa Magnata is out and about tonight. It's going to be a big one this evening. Marissa?
I am. We're bringing that Bud Light Philly tour to Misconduct Tavern on JFK, 18th and JFK. I will be there from 7 to 9, and then probably after staying and watching the game. Have some friends coming out. So come on out. There's Bud Light specials. We made these really cool Philly t-shirts that you can get for free if you come out there, and we have a photo booth, and we're giving away Eagles tickets. So I think we said yesterday that they are Eagles Cowboys tickets,
yep,
which is a Sunday night game, which will be incredible. So come on out to Misconduct tonight, 7 to 9, to win those tickets.
Outstanding. Thank you very much, Marissa. Let's see. Thanking our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Also brought to you by French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville, with everything you need for the great outdoors. French Creek Outfitters. .com. Why take a chance with anybody else? Tomorrow on our program, in our studio, Paul Stanley.
How about that?
Wow. Kiss is going to be stopping by. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
I think he has an art thing in.
He
in
does. There.
Yeah, he'll be promoting that. Jeannie Francis will be in our studio.
The great Jeannie Francis from General Hospital.
Yeah, she
played. Are you kidding?
Laura, yeah, Luke and Laura.
Of Luke and Laura.
Are you kidding?
This is.
We got Laura?
Yeah. This is William Riker.
Everybody goes on Preston and Steve.
Yeah. Sorry, Steve. What were you
Jonathan, if Star Trek. Jonathan Frakes, The Next Generation, that's his wife.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So she will be in tomorrow. We'll also have comedians Sam Tripoli and Eddie Bravo stopping by. So it's going to be a nice way to end the week with us.
Just jam that entertainment in there.
That is it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Listen, I'm not sure where you lived before, but here in Belmont Hills, you put the dog on the leash, you pick up its and you take it home with you. You don't open your door and let it run around. First time I step in my own backyard, I'm going right after you.
Next message.
Guys, you are so funny. That snort sort thing, I was literally having convulsions laughing through it. I got reprimanded at work, but after I showed everybody, I made the whole office laugh. You guys are hysterical. Keep doing you. Love you guys.
Next message.
To the guy bitching about licking your fingers before you get the money and you got sick because of that, dude, have you ever been to a strip club? Jesus Christ.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack! Sell them for less!